Every now and then,
yes,
one or both of us go through something, and we think occasionally sharing the news might be of interest
right.
to somebody else who's dealing
so
with
the good
what
news
we're
is,
dealing with.
My back is fine. That's me, knocking all...
For the moment.
Yes.
But you still have an epidural on the horizon.
Yes. And the other thing that I'm dealing with tonight is actually quite good. I had cataract surgery last week, and now... I'm dealing with, I chose to have the lens put in that was actually my prescription because my glasses were changing every year and it's so expensive and it was frustrating because I've been wearing glasses for over 60 years and they were heavy and I was self-conscious and you just don't see as well with glasses. I enjoyed all the years I wore contacts because I could see better, but I'd given that up because of dry eyes. Bob, you can relate to that, right? Bob's shaking his head, yeah.
Yep.
That's the story of my life right now, right, Bob?
Yep.
Yes.
Just call me Desert Eye.
Desert Eyes. Oh. So I decided to get the lens with my prescription in my right eye. Now, my eye will take weeks to completely heal, but at this point, I almost have 20/20 vision in my right eye.
In fact, I will interrupt at this point to share with the class what Miss Showoff did earlier this week. So there we are at the breakfast table. I'm on one side. Johnny's on the other side. I decide to take a drink of water, and we have the water bottles. As I'm grabbing the bottle, she starts reading the small print
across the table
on the wrapper of the water bottle.
But you didn't mention how I complimented you on your color. I was, wow, your color is good. You said, this is my same color.
and I had you cover your right eye and cover your left eye.
And then,
oh, yeah.
That's a good color. Ooh, that's good color. So my left eye is now 2,500. So imagine 2020 and 2,500, and my brain's going, we don't know what we should do.
As opposed to the way your brain normally reacts.
Yeah, thank you.
You were short of a dog. Jeez.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, I'm there, so I can say
I know.
That.
We could share a dog, right? Yeah, so you can imagine. And I did wear monovision contact lenses for many years because my brain accepted one for distance and one for close-up, and that was very cool. Except putting on eye makeup because you're like, oh, wait, that's my good eye. That's my bad. Anyway, so every now and then I have moments where my new lens takes over and my brain goes, oh, this is good. You are living the good life now. And then suddenly the bad eye goes, I'm still here. And then as we're driving to work tonight, I went, oh, I'm getting car sick because it's just so disconcerting to...
Because you tried wearing your glasses and that didn't work.
No, because putting glasses on top of this prescription, I screamed. You said, what's wrong? I said, I just hit the top of my hand on the door facing because I didn't judge the door properly. And when I walked through, I slapped the top of my hand. I said, well, that ain't going to work. So.
But how many times over the past couple of days have you tried to take your glasses off and realized you weren't wearing glasses?
I'm still pushing up the nose piece. My index finger is going to my... I'm going, oh, wait. You're going to push your... You know, just tapping myself on the nose. So if you see me do that tonight, that's what I'm doing. Anyway, I'm not complaining. I'm so happy. This is a wonderful world that we live in where you can have something like a lens put in your eye where you can see like I've not seen for over 60 years.
And can we share one other thing that if anyone is listening to us and they're going to have cataract surgery, ask your doctor if they can do what Johnny's doctor did.
I'd never heard of it before, but I kind of freaked out on Monday night when I called Walgreens to get my prescription for the eye drops because everybody that I know, my parents, you, everybody I know that had cataract surgery, you had to do drops for a period of time afterwards.
About a month.
And no, I think it's just a couple weeks. Well, anyway, what do I know? I'm just short of a dog. So when I called Walgreens, they said, no, you don't have a prescription here. And so when we went for the follow-up appointment, she called you over and she pulled my eye down and she showed you that in the pocket of my eye, there is a little packet of steroid and antibiotic that will be there for a month to 6 weeks, just slowly dissolving.
So you don't have to take any
drops
or anything.
This
will just do it by itself. I've never heard of that. I think it's wonderful.
The only downside of it is I'm wearing eye makeup on one eye, which looks really odd. In fact, when I went to the eye doctor, the girls were going, yes, you're our people. You put eye makeup on that other eye. And I said, well, yeah. It's just, you know, I've been doing that forever. So anyway, I'm not complaining. I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I apparently won't need a dog, Bob. So there.
I can still sign up for one. So
yes. Well, Bob's dealing with the dry eye, which will probably keep you from having cataract surgery for some time.
At least till September 2nd when he does the first treatment.
Oh, golly. And I just keep hearing my father-in-law saying, you only got one set. So when they tell you that it costs you X amount of money, you got to say, well, it's not like I can go out and get new ones.
And the other thing my dad used to say, he would always say, you're down to your last pair.
Yes. So, true, too.
Yeah.
He was a wise man, wasn't he? Yes. Well, we got a lot coming up tonight, and we are so happy that you're here with us. It's dark already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last Thursday night was the last 8 o'clock sunset until May of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just full of good stuff.
Well,
bringing all the good news to town. Yes. Speaking of things being clear, a listener suggested or asks why I couldn't pop a lens out of my old glasses. Well, I've
tried that with interesting results.
It took me a good 15 minutes. I had to chisel. I put a chisel in the middle of the lens and I hammered it out. The company that makes the glasses that I was wearing should use that as a commercial.
Yeah.
Because I could not just, and in fact, at the eye doctor, they couldn't just pop out the lens. So I worked and worked and worked.
And that was even after one of the technicians at the eye doctor had a
toolkit.
And she was trying to get it out and said, no,
these are made
really, really well made.
Yeah. So finally, with a chisel and a hammer, I was able to knock the lens out and I put them on. Oh, wow. Is that bizarre? Because the depth, does that sound right, Bob?
Depth perception.
Because suddenly things, it's wrong.
So you're dealing with your new eye and not your old eye the way it would normally be, but your new eye and the old prescription in the other eyeglass. And I was in the office and Johnny came weaving in and said, you know, I don't think this is going to work.
I'm certainly not going to be driving anytime soon. But I have a driver, so I'm good.
Yes, Miss Daisy.
Coming up tonight, a bunch of things that we're going to be talking about. I can't believe.
It's only a month away from the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We're going to be at the Rialto Square Theater. We're going to be inducting our friend Susie Baugus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a fun night.
Oh, my gosh.
All kinds of people are going to be
there. The lineup. So we're going to talk with Ron Romero, and he's going to give us the rundown on who's going to be there that night and what's happening out at the museum, because great things are happening at the museum.
Yeah.
And we'll just get the rundown on tickets and all that good stuff. And if you've never been to the Rialto Square, what a great place to see a concert.
It's wonderful.
It's comfortable, and the sight lines are good, and the acoustics are outstanding.
Also, speaking of music, a little later tonight, our resident Beatleologist, Wally Podrajic, is going to join us live from the Fest for Beatles Fans in Rosemont, going on even as we speak. And he'll give us the 411 on what's going on. I think Peter Asher is there.
Yeah.
Billy J. Kramer is there. So it's a good lineup. And also, we mentioned that our grandson Joseph is back on the left coast with his posse and his Papa from the posse, Patrick Crispin, Dr. Patrick Crispin, will join us. And we have a ton of things to get to tonight.
Yes, so, including news about Google.
Yeah.
And hacking. And what does that mean?
Yep.
Is that bad news? And it's back to school time. Bob, you're still in studio with us. When you went back to school, wasn't it September? Right after Labor Day, right?
The day after Labor Day.
Oh, my gosh. Our friends in California, the kids went back to school last week, Monday.
Same. That's just Florida, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I guess in Illinois, it's always in August. Why don't we move it from September?
Because if I remember correctly, when I was in school, I believe we got out for summer vacation. I want to say it was the 23rd of June.
Yeah, it was late.
And then went back to school the day after Labor Day.
Right.
Which is the way God intended.
Well, let's ask the youngster amongst us. So, Julian, when you were in school, did you go back to school in August or September?
I definitely remember it being September.
Okay. After Labor Day.
Yeah, yeah. Something like, and I remember going into the summer, late June.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. This is wrong.
Ron, what about you?
September, yeah. It was just like the song, see you in September.
Yeah.
And I was such an odd child. I look, do not say a word. Do not. You gave me that look like you're just about to bust. I look forward to going back to school. I counted the days. I had a calendar and I'd scratch off the days. I was just waiting.
Me opposites don't attract.
Yeah, really? you went into a blue funk, right?
Yeah.
You were just like, oh, I can't go on.
I will never forget one summer. It was the first day of August. And I realized it was the first day of August, and I got depressed because it was only a month that I had until I had to go back to school.
Well, my mother was an enabler. She took me clothes shopping to go back to school. And I don't care.
Did you go to Robert Hall?
Probably. I don't care if it was the 3rd of September and it was 95 degrees. I'm wearing corduroy because it's back to school. I'm wearing
a sleepy,
sweater.
Dusty Delta day.
Yes. And I look back on that and I think, Mom, why didn't you just say to me, come on, you look weird. And then I wondered why I had no friends. It took me a long time to get to sit at a table with other people at lunch. But see, you boys didn't deal with the love of back to school clothes. So did you have to wear a uniform, Bob?
Nope.
Julian, uniform?
When I went to school in Chicago, I did. But I went to the suburbs,
no.
Never heard of it.
At Our Lady of Peace in St. Bride, yeah.
That's why you will not wear navy blue.
I won't.
He refuses to wear navy blue. It was a navy blue blazer?
It was a blue shirt, but then the navy blue tie.
Yes. And that's why.
And corduroy.
See? The whistling pants. The pants that tell everybody you're coming down the hall.
Hated it. Hate.
You didn't even need chubby legs. You see. Well, anyway, that's another story.
Only those from a certain generation will be able to relate to the fact that Chuck Berry's school days actually made going to school seem a little easier because it was great rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And I would have my little, it was a Silvertone radio that I could mount on the handle of my bicycle, and as
could
I'd
you
be,
ride your bicycle to school?
Sometimes I did. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. And if Chuck Berry was playing, it made things a little easier. Still hated school.
I know,
but it made it a little easier.
And I was at school waiting in the dark, waiting for someone to get there so I could go in and put up bulletin boards and whatever, clean erasers, whatever. I just wanted to be in there. So this year, there are trends every year. There were trends when you were going to school, when I was going to school. Backpacks. Oh, when I see kids on our block going to school and they are, seriously, they're balanced precariously because their backpacks are so big and they're so little.
And some of them feel that the backpacks actually help their balance.
Probably help. Do you think it helps their posture by pulling their shoulders back?
Might.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we didn't do backpacks. We carried our books under our arm. I know.
Yeah.
It seems so archaic now because everybody has a backpack. But backpacks are still the thing. But if you want to be cutting edge, you need to get Labubus.
Excuse me?
Or Jellycats for your backpack.
Excuse me?
Labubus or Jellycats.
Does it hurt when you get labubu?
You put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah. It's much better after that. No, labubus are those odd little fuzzy creatures and you hang it on your backpack. Remember when we were on the plane with the adorable child, the 10-year-old?
Oh, yes.
And she had one on her backpack and she was tickled because I said, oh, you have a labubu. And she goes, oh, you know what it is, old lady. No, she didn't say that. But I said, yeah, you're very lucky. She said, yes, you know, you can't turn your back on it. Somebody will snap it off your backpack and you will lose your labubu. I've never seen a jelly cat, but it's a...
How old were you when you lost your labubu?
It hurts.
Who are you calling Labubu?
No, you're a jelly cat. Julian Jelly Cat. I have no idea what a jelly cat is, but I'm told that it's all the rage for backpacks, along with the Labubu. Also,
usually
tumblers.
Usually it takes a few more minutes for the show to go off the rail.
Tumblers. I don't understand this. 32-ounce tumbler. And I can picture this little one on our block. Honestly, she looks like she's 4 and she's 8. She's a teeny tiny little thing. And she's got this gigantic backpack and she's carrying this 32-ounce Stanley cup.
It looks like the tumbler should be carrying her.
Exactly. And apparently that's all the rage too. You got to have your tumbler with you. I guess you take it into class. Maybe someone can enlighten me. Do they allow you to take the tumbler or do you put it in your locker? Again, I turn to the youngster, Julian. Bottled water was popular when you were in school. Were you allowed to bring it with you to school?
Ooh, that's a tough grip. Mm.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But you know what I'm talking about, those the Stanley tumblers that are so huge and you know, and you got the straw, and you can get these little cute things that you put on the end of the straw so you can keep things from falling into the straw. And
you could wound somebody with those.
Yes. Upside the head. Yeah. You know. All right. So those are still very popular. Also, Owalas, O-W-A-L-A-S. I guess that's another kind of tumbler. I don't know where Yetis are. We love our Yeti.
Yetis are the best.
Yeah, got no complaint about the Yeti, but it doesn't make the list for trends back to school this year. Smartwatches are a definite, including the Gizmo Watch for the little kids, the Gizmo Watch. Footwear includes everything from classic Birkenstocks, which have been around forever. Crocs are still very popular, along with the gibbets that you put on your Crocs. Gibbets are those little charms that you put on your crop. Crocs.
I feel like I'm learning a whole new language tonight.
I know. Yeah. Like when Joseph was wearing his Crocs, he had gorillas that were gibbets all over because he loves this video game and this gorilla tag. So it was all these goofy gorillas on his Crocs. Anyway, Birkenstocks, Crocs with gibbets, and also sneakers, stylish sneakers, expensive sneakers. For any parents out there, you're going, yeah, it's not like you can go to Kmart and get yourself a $9 pair of sneakers. You got to have a very good, stylish, expensive pair of sneakers.
We were just lucky to have shoes.
We just took cardboard and cut out our foot and just tied our feet. Thrifting. Now, this is fascinating. Thrifting your clothes has become really popular for kids. They want to go to thrift shops.
Oh, cool.
And considering how expensive everything is, thrifting is a great trend to embrace. Also, digital planners. Paper planners have gone digital. And I'm thinking if you've got a phone, you probably keep all of that in your phone. So backpacks, backpack accessories, tumblers, age-appropriate technology like smart watches and gizmo watches for the younger kids, footwear like Birkenstocks and Crocs, and thrifting clothing along with digital planners. Those are all the things that are hot this year for back to school.
Okay.
And a listener tells us that Naperville schools start next week. And
I'm sorry, it's too hot.
Yeah, I know, but they have air conditioning.
One of the worst summers of my life, a summer that I had to go to summer school at South Shore High School, and it was one of the hottest summers up to that point with no air conditioning.
Yeah, I spoke during the news to Krista in engineering, and she grew up in Vegas. And I said, did you go to school in September? And she said, no, we went in August. And then Bob, keeper of the big plug, right, said, well, you had air conditioning. And that was the difference. We didn't have air conditioning. So we went the Wednesday after Labor Day. And it was still so darn hot.
I would speculate that just because it's Vegas, that school district was probably one of the first in the country to get air conditioning.
Yeah, probably. Listener says you have to have sports tournament IDs hanging on your backpack. Hardly anything in backpacks. My grandchildren only have a Chromebook, no books. Oh, well, that's interesting. I wonder what the kids on our block are carrying, because they look like it, if they just leaned back a little bit, they're just going to fall backwards, yeah, because their packs are so full. My grandkids only have a Chromebook, no books, but they leave with a backpack for school, another for after-school sports, and a third for the club practice. They leave at 7 in the morning and get home at 8:30 at night. Wow.
No.
And we're talking about an A-plus student, a straight A-plus student in AP classes. I don't know how she does it. That's...
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. That's just too much. Too much going on.
It was a long day for me when I had to get to school by about 8 in the morning, and I think I got out about 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
I think we got out at 3:15. I can still, in my head, I can still hear that clock tick, tick, ticking, the big old school clock. And so 3:15, we got out, and I got home in time. In grade school, I got home in time to see the Three Stooges, which I didn't like, but I liked Andy, the old dude that did the Three, yeah, Stooges on Channel 9.
Andy Clyde?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I can picture him, too.
And he was, who was he? Because he did a number of characters on Channel 9. He was, his real name was,
That wasn't Ray, was it?
No, that wasn't Ray.
But in high school, I got home in time to see Dark Shadows. So, you know, if you hustled, if you left your friends, in my case, I didn't have to worry about that. I just got home for Dark Shadows.
In high school, I wanted to get home in time to see American Bandstand.
Oh, okay. And that's why it was there for, yeah, kids to get home, yeah, at 3:30 or 4 o'clock.
And
in the
American
afternoon.
Bandstand would be interrupted literally for a half hour. I will never forget this. Because American Bandstand, I think they did an hour that was only seen in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was an hour or hour and a half that was seen on ABC. Then they broke for a half hour for the Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm.
Then they came back and wrapped up a final half hour.
Oh, that was brilliant programming.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A listener says, my size 3 granddaughters all grab as many of Grandpa's size XX large shirts, a must for them.
Okay.
And we went through that period in high school where we, mm-hmm, would go to men's stores and buy extra large T-shirts, so you only saw about an inch of your shorts because the shirts would, mm-hmm, be so long and so flowing. And nothing wrong with that trend. I think that's comfortable.
You look like one of the Peanuts kids on Halloween.
Yes. Just all shirt walking, yeah, around. Wah, wah, wah.
Boys and girls, today, Saturday, is National Rice Pudding Day.
Woohoo!
And I am in the rice pudding camp.
I
love rice pudding.
You're so easy to feed. You really are.
Well,
burned toast, a plain potato, and rice pudding.
And so many of these go back to treats my mom used to,
yeah,
make.
Yeah. It's not the easiest thing to make. I know people are going, what? Are you kidding me? Seriously. I do a lot of cooking. I do a lot of baking. I have not mastered rice pudding. So I just resort to those little cups of rice pudding. You get 6 in a package, and you love them, so good.
Now, I am reading from the from the official site. It says, how to celebrate National Rice Pudding Day.
Really?
You can make a fun time out of something that might have gotten a bit boring. Celebrate National Rice Pudding Day.
Fill the bathtub with it.
Try some of these. Well, there's that. enjoy some rice pudding, whether making it at home from scratch, blah, 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 blah. Get creative with rice pudding.
Really?
Yeah, fill your bathtub.
Okay.
And then the history of Rice Pudding Day. Rice pudding has a history that dates back thousands of years, possibly as far as 6,000 BC.
What?
Its roots go back through ancient China, ancient India, and the Byzantine Empire.
Hmm.
Although rice pudding might get a bad rap in some schools due to its rather gluish consistency, when made properly, it can be a yummy treat for children and adults alike.
Mm-hmm.
The rice pudding is a dessert that is filled with carbs. Those calories aren't all completely empty. Eating rice pudding offers a variety of potential health benefits. When made with cow's milk, rice pudding is a source of vitamins A, B1,
oh, please.
B2,
is there a,
D, E, and K.
There's a rice pudding foundation that puts out this propaganda?
It also has minerals such as potassium, calcium, and magnesium. National Rice Pudding Day was established to celebrate and show appreciation for this timeless dish that spans continents and generations.
Wow. I'm sure people right now are saying, thank you, Steve. I have got a hankering for some rice pudding.
And you know what I hear? After I just finish that up, I hear Spike saying, and now you know.
Did you hear?
Spike is now doing his And Now You Know. He has resurrected it on Facebook. So look up Spike Odell Facebook, And Now You Know. He's doing a daily. And not, it used to
is
be
it daily or weekly?
I thought it was a daily thing. Or was that the mayor?
Yes, but look up Spike, because I don't know what possessed him to bring it back, but it's fun because...
We have to get Spike on to talk about the resurrected And Now You Know.
Good idea. Very good idea. Well, speaking of rice, in the song it says, I want rice in my life, and it's implying that you get rice in your hair when you get married.
Right.
We don't throw rice anymore because it's not good for the birds. It took me to a story out of today's White Sox game at the Rate.
Yes.
A couple got married before the game. Ron Kittle did the ceremony. There's an adorable picture of them. And it looks like their names are, what are their names? Mark and Kristen. There was a reception afterwards. Apparently, they talked about this during the game. In fact, you'll see the picture of the bride and groom, and when they get married, they're handed a baby. We're assuming it's their baby. But Stoney said, get married in a minute, receive a child as a wedding gift. Because it was kind of weird. All of a sudden, they're like, yay, we're married. Oh, here's a baby. And... I assume it's the dad. He's lifting the baby over his head, and it's a baby that's under a year old.
That's cool.
It's really cool. So here's some of the things that people said. Hopefully their marriage will last longer than the Sox win streak.
Ooh. Yeah, the Sox have fallen on not the best of times again. But they still have, at least as of yesterday, after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. The Sox have more home runs than any team in the majors.
They're fun to watch. I mean, the extra innings the other night was frustrating.
They're not giving it up.
No, that was exciting. All right, here's...
Oh, and I'm interrupting to say, I believe, Julian, can we check the time? But I believe the Sox, I believe it's the next two Sundays. The Sox will be heard on this here radio station with Len Casper and Darren Jackson. One of my absolute favorite broadcast teams. Mm-hmm. They are so good. How good are they? Even in the face of some of the not wonderful games that the Sox have, they make it a really, really good broadcast. Back to the days of when we were carrying the Cubs and when it didn't matter.
Pat and Ron. Yeah.
It was a great show, and sometimes a baseball game broke out. It's the same kind of thing with Lennon and
DJ. They're not just homers. They actually say when boneheaded moves are made, and I appreciate that. All right, here's another comment on the wedding on the field. She got a ring before the team secured another one.
Okay.
Ouch. People had a good time with this one. And then a lot of folks are saying, easy with that baby. If he would have dropped that baby, he would have been... married for 1 minute. He hit a home run. That's another one of the comments. Everybody seems to be stuck on the fact that the wedding came complete with a baby.
And speaking of baseball, I'm blanking out on who is the Clarendon Hills?
Oh, yes.
that are in the Little League World Series. Good for the now. To my knowledge, they are in Pennsylvania, but they're kind of practicing. And the World Series actually doesn't start for about another week or so, I believe. But congratulations to them. How cool is that?
And if you like baseball, you should watch that World Series.
I love watching Little League baseball. It's the way baseball should be played.
I cry because it is so emotional. It's just so fun to see these kids interacting and being empathetic to the other team. If I hit you with a ball, I'm going to go over and apologize to you, which is wonderful.
Yeah, we've actually seen pictures do that. Julian, what'd you find?
And speaking of baseball, we will carry the Sox tomorrow at approximately 12:30.
Okay.
And next Friday at approximately 6.
Okay.
Really? Okay. Well, we've got news coming up.
Oh, and also the first female umpire in baseball.
Yep.
That is so cool.
She's going to be calling balls and strikes on Sunday.
Yeah,
in Atlanta.
In just a little over a month, we will be at the Rialto Square Theater to introduce this year's Founders Choice Award recipient at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66 Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
That's a mouthful.
And it is going to be a fun night. And we're so happy to talk to the man who is the board of directors chairman and the founder of the museum. And that would be your Ron Romero. Hey, Ron, how you doing, buddy?
Very good. How are you?
Well, doing great tonight. I was shocked when I looked at the calendar and I said, we got to talk to Ron because we're coming up on, like Steve said, a little over a month before the big night. But Ron, let's start with the museum. For people who don't know the history of the museum, how many years has it been since you had this brilliant idea and made it a reality?
Oh, it was an idea in 2013, and we started committees in 2016. By 2017, we were a nonprofit. By 2019, we bought the building. We closed at the end of 2019 and slammed right into COVID year, our year. So we sat kind of idle, or at least slow for the first year. And then we did a lot of remodeling with the help of a lot of trades unions and men and women coming out and helping us. Last year, we saw people come from 47 countries and every single state.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is wonderful.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because
we have a great team putting it together, and it's growing every year. It's just incredible growth. You know, when I wrote the business plan, I had hoped we'd do well, but when it starts to do that, it's kind of surreal.
Well,
and from what I'm seeing from some of your Facebook posts, a lot of celebrities from around the world are becoming aware of the museum and stopping by to see what's going on.
Absolutely. We do occasionally get people who are in all genres of music that stop by. We've had actors stop by. We've had musicians stop by. It's just incredible.
Well, I'm curious, though, but back to the unbelievable number of people from other countries that stop by. Is there a particular thing, or is it just American rock and roll that pulls them to the museum?
Well, you know, we're part... we embrace, of course, Route 66, so we get a lot of travelers. So we're becoming a good stops in the area here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the main draws. But, you know, we've had people that had called from when the Blues Fest happened in Chicago. We had a call from somebody in Denmark who said they were coming to the Blues Fest from Denmark and wanted to make sure we were open so that they could take the tour of the museum.
Wow.
They called us from Denmark.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I feel, as I follow you on Facebook, this has been a wonderful year with a lot of new things happening. So get us up to date on what's been happening this year at the museum.
Oh, lots of good things. Well, to start with, almost a year ago, a little over a year ago, we got hit by tornado winds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And we sustained some pretty serious damage.
Right.
It took us nearly a year to get settled with the insurance company. And the renovation, or the repairs, I should say, are actually underway now. So The roof is just about done. The facade needs to be taken care of. It's a historically marked building. Mm-hmm. So we have to replicate what was there. And we have our buildings built out of terracotta. The facade is, and there's like three companies in the United States that does that work.
Oh my!
So it takes a long time. So by May of next year is what, you know, barring any unforeseen issues, the facade should be fixed. The windows should be in. The you know, a lot of things upgraded and repaired.
And isn't one of the important things, Gigantar will be again
hanging
outside the building.
That's, you know, surprisingly, we've had people, true story, we had a couple that came in from Spain who said they saw on the news that Gigantar was taken down because of the storm. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. In Spain, they heard of us. But later that week, we had a group of people from Spain that came in and said the exact same thing. So somehow we ended up on news over there.
But we should
certainly get a lot of travelers asking about it.
Mm-hmm. We should back up for people who don't know what Gigantar is. You want to explain it? It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's actually a guitar sculpture that hangs on the front of our building. It's 24 feet tall and is in the shape of a Route 66 sign with a guitar neck and six strings. And if you're coming from the north, or I'm sorry, from the east or the west, you see a guitar. Either way, so but there's some really special details on there that you have to come and see as soon as we get it back up there.
And it was done by artist Shannon
McDonald.
Oh, yeah. McDonald, of course. I'm her friend on Facebook.
She is so scary good. You look at some of her paintings and you think that's a photograph. No, that is a Shannon McDonald painting. She is wonderful.
Hyper-realism, yes.
Yes.
It's hard to find a picture from her. From her paintings, they look very much like photos.
Well, as an aside, I saw an exchange on her Facebook page recently where people were suggesting that it was AI, and she said, "I'm fighting words because I put every drop of paint on those canvases because they look so realistic." It's just she's a real talent, and how lucky you were that she devoted so much work into building Gigantar, and then it made its trek across country on Route 66 and made it up to the museum. Very cool.
Yeah. So it was actually made in New Jersey. And when her and her team were completed with it, we had a trucking company from Joliet that volunteered their time, their gas, they paid for their labor, everything. And they went out to New Jersey and picked it up. And when we brought it back, we came in through Springfield and came up Route 66 and kind of did a little parade. Try to get a little notoriety to the Route 66, or, you know, all our friends on Route 66 and all their attractions as well.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ron Romero, who's the chairman and creator. The guy's living his dream out in Joliet at the museum. Right, Ron? It's safe to say this is your dream come true, right?
It's definitely a dream. I'm a kid in a candy shop, to be honest with you. I get to meet a lot of my musical heroes and do these special events like this Hall of Fame that's coming up. And I'm going to tell you, we've got such a lineup for this next one that I guarantee you, you're not going to see a lineup like this anywhere else.
No.
Give you an example that we're going to have, of course, you mentioned Susie Boggess, of course, but Richard Marx and Disturbed, all on the same stage.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Find them anywhere else together.
Yes. And Bonnie Kolak will be there. The Shy Lights. And again, you're absolutely right. When you look at this lineup of people, of inductees, you got the Smashing Pumpkins, Bo Diddley, Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, Little Walter. It just blows my mind. I have to ask you, is it like a five-hour night? What time does it start, and how long are we planning on being at the Rialto Square?
We start at 9 a.m. and we should be done by midnight. No, I'm kidding. No, it's actually going to start at about 5 o'clock that night. And if all goes well, It's going to be a long show, but we're looking at about a four-hour show total.
Oh, that's awesome. So. And again, it's on the 14th of September at the Rialto Square Theater. And as we've said from day one, when you started doing anything at the Rialto Square, we love that place. It's wonderful to support it. It's right there in your backyard. It couldn't be more perfect.
Wonderful acoustics, great sight lines. It is a wonderful classic old theater that has been refurbished and brought up to date, and it's a great place to see a concert.
In fact, Ron, take us back to last year, because this year we're looking at 24 and 25 inductees, correct?
Right.
Because
exactly.
There was a snafu in the theater last year that kind of put everything on hold until this year, as I recall.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we were kind of forced to combine the 2 years. We like holding it in Joliet, of course. You mentioned the beautiful theater. It was designed and created by the same people that created the very ornate and beautiful Chicago Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll see a little similarities between the two different theaters. But that's what ended up happening here. And that's why we're having such a big, long show this year, is we're doing 24 and 25 all in one. We got to get caught up.
That's right.
We are getting a lot of texts from people with a whole bunch of questions. Some people want to know, are they going to be able to do any videos with their cameras, or yes, no, or what do you recommend?
Well, that's a very good question. That's something I don't know that has been decided yet. We have to get permission from all the artists first, which I know they're working on right now to find out. There will be an announcement that night. I can tell you that we won't allow any, you know, professional cameras other than the ones that we put in there.
Right.
So I do know we have some news cameras that are coming in and some professional photographers, just to keep it, you know, it's a bit distracting when everybody has their cameras up and the flash is going.
And try to put the camera down and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, live in the moment.
Yeah, live in the moment absolutely.
Yeah. Will there be a meet and greet after the concert?
There is a possibility that we're going to have a few of the artists that have agreed to come out and meet people out in the atrium afterwards.
Well, if they don't show up, we'll be hanging out in the lobby. So come by and say hi.
But we should get to some of the specifics. How much? Where do people buy tickets? What's the drill for that?
Okay, so to start with, tickets are $49, $59, and $69, depending on where you're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we just released, we had the balcony on hold until the floor sold out, and we're real close to selling out the floor, like just a few seats left.
Mm-hmm.
So they literally just opened up the balcony seats. So if you're going to get your tickets, now's your time to get the tickets.
Absolutely.
You can get tickets three different ways, actually. You can go to the Rialto Square Theater box office downtown Joliet and save yourself some of the fees. Or you can go on to Ticketmaster, or you can go to roadtorock.org and look for on the very top left-hand side, you'll see events. And right in there, you'll see a link to the Hall of Fame, and it'll take you right to the Ticketmaster site.
And that is your website, and we will have links to your website on all of our social media pages. One other question that's coming in, what about parking? What's the easiest parking closest to the Rialto Square Theater?
Well, the nice thing about downtown Joliet is it's the city blocks are not quite as big as downtown Chicago city blocks. and the better thing is that there's a parking lot directly across the street. There is some construction because we're putting in a brand new park downtown Joliet. But you can park in the parking deck that's across the street. There's a parking deck, to the north. There's a parking deck to the west. And then there's a parking spot to the south, all within one block.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, just had a text from somebody up in Milwaukee wants to know, what's the easiest expressway, the easiest way to get there for somebody who's coming from, who doesn't live in Joliet?
Well, you know, Joliet, where we're going to be at, is Joliet is based on the corner of like 55 and Route 80.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, of course, Route 66, Route 6, Route 30. There's plenty of ways to get there. I'd say set your GPS for the Rialto Square Theater. There is some construction going on, but the good part is that they're starting to remove a lot of the detours and some of the, you know, things like that. So it's going to be a little easier to get downtown. You can, we also suggest if you're going to stay the night, there's several great hotels. There's one downtown and several within a mile or two that you can get to. You could take a look at that on Joliet website of some of the hotels there. And just be prepared for a great night.
Yeah. Well, now listeners know because they've heard us talk to Susie Boggess and about her induction that she will actually be performing that night. And a listener wants to know who else might we see that night during that concert?
Oh, boy. Good question. So Richard Marx is going to perform. So is Disturbed. So is Enough's Enough. So is Het East is going to perform. We have a all-star performance with the Freddie Dixon Blues Band. Of course, it's a relative of Willie Dixon.
Willie Dixon, yeah.
And we have Ronnie Baker Brooks coming out to be a part of that blues tribute as well.
Good.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. And then, of course, Susie Boggess is going to perform. Let's see who else. I have to look at this because this is such a long list.
Yeah.
By the way,
there's
I see
more performances this time around too. So
I see there's this this new kid that's going to be emceeing at this
BS somebody.
BS somebody. I think his name is Surratt.
Bob something.
Bob something.
Yeah, Bob's coming back again this year to be our MC. He does a great job every year, so we're glad to have him back. He's also one of our, what we call our ambassadors to the Rock and Roll Museum, so we appreciate that.
A listener wants to know, apparently they've gone to the museum website, and again, I'm taking you away from the concert and back to the museum. Are the Crying Shames in the museum?
Yes, they were inducted at our last event.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
And our buddy Jim Peterk is one of the ambassadors, and the Ides were one of the first groups that were inducted. Again, all of this information is available at your site. I think we neglected to mention exactly where the museum is located in Joliet.
So the address is 9 West Cass. If you can find the Rialto, you're going to be about 2.5 blocks away from the Rialto. So it's real easy to get to. Normally there would be a 25-foot guitar there to show you where it's at. There's currently a banner on the front of the building with a picture of Gigantar until we bring it back. And you will notice currently there is also some scaffolding in the front because they are doing renovation. The outside looks a little rough from the tornado. The inside has come a long, long way. First floor is done. Second floor is under construction right now, and we hope to have that open by the end of the year.
Couple questions. We didn't want to let you go until we got answers for our listeners, Ron. Is the museum wheelchair accessible?
It is indeed.
Okay. Follow-up question to that is, if I buy a balcony ticket, is there an elevator? A listener asks, is there an elevator? Can I get up there if I am physically challenged?
Yes, there is an elevator.
Okay, good. And, of course, you could call the Rialto Square if you're ordering your tickets through them.
Yeah.
Ask them all of these questions about, well, where's the best place for me to sit, et cetera, et cetera. But
and
a good
again,
question.
Again, as Ron said, if you want to save some service fees and stuff, just
go
get
there.
Your tickets through the Rialto Square Theater.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and please do call the Rialto and ask if you need ADA accessible areas. It's important to let them know so they can put you in a row because you're still in a theater and you still have to get upstairs in the balcony, but they can get you to that level and put you in easier places to sit.
Well, good. I'm glad the listener asked that question because we're talking about the main floor appears to be sold out or just a few seats left. So the balcony is a great place to sit. Let me tell you, the acoustics are awesome up there, too.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yes.
By the way, is it true that I believe is it George Thorogood who's going to be doing a tribute to Muddy Waters?
George Thorogood was originally scheduled, but now he's on tour again. So he was scheduled for the event that was going to happen last year.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to the museum. A listener wants to know if you have to be a working musician to be a member of the museum.
So membership, no, membership is, of course, open to anybody. Perhaps they're referring to being included in the museum through exhibits or anything. Of course, that would you would have to be mm-hmm. that. There are some stipulations to that. There's some information on our website, but basically, Hall of Fame, as an example, you have to be in the business at least 20 years, significant mm-hmm. sales and records, and recognition nationally or internationally. But to become a member of the museum itself, a charter member, we've got 38 states right now covered with memberships.
Wow.
So that's growing.
Yeah.
And you can get an annual renewable real cheap, where you can get a family lifetime, or there's different plans to fit what you are looking for.
Well, I'm going to make this partly personal. Are you a musician?
I am, and I'm still playing. I guess I'm never going to give that up.
Good.
Well, in fact, that was going to be my next question. Are you going to be playing bass with any of the performers?
You know what? We're usually part of the backup band, and this year I get to sit and watch because every band is bringing their band, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, we got to play the last time around. We got to play with Kevin Cronin and Dave Amato and Neil Doherty from REO Speedwagon and Taranzo Cannon, blues great.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just thrilled to be able to do that. You know, that's another perk of, kid in the candy shop here.
Yeah.
We love to do that. But this year, I think the band is going to sit out and watch everybody else perform.
Wow. A listener wants to know if there's going to be a program for the show.
There is. We do, in fact, have a program that will tell little information about all the presenters, all of the inductors and mm-hmm. inductees, and little history in there as well.
Very nice. So you can even use that as an autograph. If you catch one of the stars running to their car, you can grab them and get an autograph on your program.
Absolutely.
Texture wanted to know, if you're a member, do you get to vote on some of the people, the potential inductees?
Yes, great question. So the nominations go out to the general public. Anybody who wants to nominate an artist, of course, they have to have a significant tie to Illinois, born here, recorded here, some big thing here to the mm-hmm. state of Illinois. And in the past, we've had thousands of nominations come from all over the world, just crazy. But the actual voting on who's going to go in happens by charter members. That's one of the perks, one mm-hmm. of the many perks you get as becoming a charter member. Some of the other perks is when you are in town and at the museum, there's lots of great discounts at local restaurants and shops. There are all sorts of things. You become, we're part of something called NARM, which is North American Reciprocal Museums. You get become a member at ours, and you get to go in free to 1,800 other museums in Mexico and the United States.
That's brilliant. And they do the same thing. If you're a member of an Albuquerque, New Mexico museum, and it's part of this group, that would allow you to come to the Rock Museum?
Absolutely.
That is so cool. I don't know who came up with that idea, but
it's a great idea.
It is a wonderful idea. Yeah.
I wish it were me.
Yes. Well, folks can find a link to your site from our Facebook page, but it's quite simple, roadtorock.org.
And we're putting a link up there. And on the Road to Rock website, you will find the location of the Rialto Square Theater, and you can get directions just by clicking right there.
Mm-hmm. And if your MC, Bob Surratt, happens to be listening because his ears were burning because we mentioned him, happy birthday, Bob. Today's his birthday.
Yes.
Yes. Well,
happy birthday, Bob.
Ron, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're excited. We'll probably bug you again as we get closer. Let us know when the show sells out, because I'm absolutely positive that it's going to be a sellout. It's going to be a huge night. We're taking off the night before so we can rest up
right
for the show on Sunday night, the 14th of September.
And we heard from Susie Boggess today, and she is so excited about being there.
Yes, absolutely.
We're excited about this, too. Thanks for letting me hang out with both of you tonight.
Oh, appreciate it, Ron. Keep up the good work, and we're going to come see you real soon. You're doing some crazy things. Real quick before we let you go, you've got some a wine thing going on, I saw on your website, don't you? It's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah. So we have Wine, Jazz, and Arts Fest that we host. That's coming up in August, August 23rd on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We bring out three jazz bands. You get to taste some different wines from local breweries. And there's food vendors there, and get to see a lot of local artists out there putting out their artwork.
And where is that going to be?
That'll be at the Bicentennial Park, which is, again, about two blocks away from the museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Billy Limacher Bicentennial Park.
Are you a native of Joliet?
I'm originally from South Chicago, transplanted to Morris, Illinois, and lived in now we've been living in Joliet the past 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're lucky to have you out there.
Yeah.
You're doing some good stuff, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Thanks. So much.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
And again, you can go to our Facebook page, and we'll put it up on our Blue Sky page and our blog and everything else. So it's going to be a fun night. But again, it's going to start at about
5:30. Probably like 4 hours.
And maybe be over by 5:30 in the morning. I mean, this is going to be a heck of a show.
I have to get over the fact that I giggle every time I hear Susie Bazis. Susie Bagas.
It's the cataract surgery. You're not seeing your words correctly.
Good point, yes. Richard Marx and Disturbed. Every time I put the three together, it just makes me giggle. I think that's so cool.
Is that what makes you giggle?
Well, yeah. One of the things that make me giggle. So, coming up, we got our shout-outs.
And can I start with some of the people
please.
Who are hanging out on our blog?
Yes.
Because we have people, and if you haven't checked out our blog, please check out our blog, and we would love it if you would subscribe. In fact, quite honestly, we're trying to move a lot of people from our Facebook page over to our blog, because Facebook is meta, and who knows what's happening sometimes with social media. But if you would check out our blog, it's StephenJohnny.wordpress.com, StephenJohnny.wordpress.com. And if you subscribe, we'd love it. There's no cost. And no, we don't spam you with anything. You just get an email anytime we do a blog post. We do about, maybe two or three blog posts a week. But some of the people, some of the countries that have been checking out our blog, this week we have heard from the United States. We're getting out there. From Jamaica, from Sweden, from the Netherlands, from Hong Kong, SAR, China, from Guatemala, from the United Kingdom, from France, from Canada, from Australia, from Brazil. So thank you for checking out our blog. And also heard from Robin, who said she would be listening from Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, on the WGN app.
And Jean Jacobson also checked in on our blog, and today is her birthday.
Happy birthday, Jean.
She's up in Milwaukee and celebrating her birthday with us.
She's been with us for a long
time.
She goes back to the days of our Yahoo group.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes. A little unfinished business. An hour ago, we were talking back to school and what we did when we would rush home from school at 3:15. And I said I would rush home to watch the Three Stooges. Not that I like the Three Stooges, but I love that dude, Andy, the old guy that would fire up the projector. And a listener, we knew it was someone famous at Channel 9. Bob Bell,
of course,
was Andy Starr.
That was one of those duh.
Duh.
Yeah.
Thank you to a 502 area code who also rushed home to watch Andy Starr after school. Okay, I'm looking at names on three sources.
Yeah.
And one eye. So if I miss you, forgive me this week. I won't have two good eyes next week, but in 3 weeks I'll have two good eyes and I'll be able to roll through these.
And if you're late to the class, Johnny had cataract surgery.
Yes, and I've got one 20/20 eye. And one 2500 eye.
And then the third eye is...
yes. Well, I'm working on that third eye. Okay. Laura and Cotton are listening in Willowbrook. Don is in Portage, Michigan. JP is in Peoria. Miriam is in Seneca. Sherry Hanrahan is out in Romeoville. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Jim G is in Wisconsin. Sherry and Bob are in Arlington Heights. Patty's in Libertyville. Sherry is in Bolingbrook. Bing Besh. He just signs in because he likes to hear me.
Bing Besh.
Yeah. Bing Besh is in Winfield. Gerald Kay is in Homewood. Actually, he's from Homewood. He's in Fort Wayne for a genealogy convention, which sounds fascinating to me. Bonnie and George are listening tonight. Catherine is in Naperville. Also, Sue is on the eastern shores of Virginia tuned in. Area code 540 is traveling to Waldo, Maine. And I believe he's in his brand new Prius and listening to us on the radio. Dan Lewandowski checked in. Brian Blair is in Tellico Village, Tennessee. That's a new one on me.
Tellico Village? I've never heard of that.
Let me get over here and say, this listener is listening on the car radio from Bolingbrook, back from Missouri. Oh, that's Brian. Thank you for checking in tonight, Brian.
I like this one from Peter, who is checking in from the southeast corner of Crook County. He says he just finished a charcoal grill burger, first of this year from my grill. Cooking by flashlight is not my preferred method.
Yes.
Okay.
847 area code, checking in from Long Grove. Oh, golly. Let me jump over here now. I've kind of rolled through that list of names. Penny Scaletta. I love that name. Penny Scaletta from Frankfurt. I'm saying Penne instead of Penny because it looks like the pasta. Penne pasta.
Yeah.
Where's my mouth? I'm scared to death. I've got 3 more hours and my mouth is not cooperating.
Again, you with the cataract surgery, you can't see what you're saying.
You're right. Janet is listening in Pittsburgh. Jan Raycheck is checking in. Our buddy Bobby Danos out in Sandwich is listening. And Chuck Snitchler, the best friend of this here radio show and this radio station, is listening in Hobart.
And can I say happy birthday to a longtime friend and author, Bill Dahl. Who's been with us for a long time. Bill, happy birthday, buddy.
Stephen Verheeren, who's been with us for a long time, also checking in and had a memory of Susie Boggess, has a song called Letting Go that Kathy and Judy played every August as people were driving their kids back to college and driving home weeping.
Don't listen to that song if you haven't got a box of Kleenex handy.
Amen. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory. Ed Wales is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Always a great show, he says, and he sends us a picture of a big old moose looking right at us. Diane Vasquez is our graphics guru, and she sent us a cute summer picnic time graphic. Nancy Hollins is in Northbrook. Sally Vincey is listening on good old-fashioned way on the radio. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Gail Maslin is in Tinley Park. Gail spells her name like me, G-A-I-L, not G-A-L-E. Go ahead.
Just heard from 262 area code, Zeke from Zenda. That is being lit up by a lightning storm. Thankful the shack hasn't been hit yet.
Wow. Someone else said that they were hearing a lightning static in the radio tonight, but we were coming in loud and clear, as it should be. Laura Helm is tuned in on her iPhone. Ron Anderson's in Louisville, Kentucky. Nancy Nosick is in South Holland. Cheers, everyone, Nancy says. Penny Schick is in Tavares, Florida. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Randy Rager is in New Palestine, Indiana. Barb Jigello, forgive me, Barb. It's my eyes, okay? She's in Northlake. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Peter Jakubowicz checked in from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Jim Smith is listening on his radio on the far northwest side of Chicago. Patricia Human is in Scranton, PA. Margo Moore is in Albuquerque. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Fred Husar is in Lyons, Illinois. Lynn Kinzer tuned in from San Antonio, Florida. Susan Powell, she reminds us, because she's from Memphis, it's Elvis week.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Debbie Hardiman is, she said, a big thumbs up for your back feeling better in your successful cataract removal. Thank you. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport, beautiful Bridgeport. And speaking of beautiful, Eric Baum once again sends us a picture that could be a postcard from Wells Beach, Maine, where it was 77 degrees, a beautiful day, crystal blue skies. He took this picture early this morning. Gorgeous picture of the beach.
Speaking of pictures, did we ever get any pictures from where was it in Africa? The listener was going on a safari.
Yes, she checked in as she was getting ready to go on the safari. She was listening on her phone. No, we did not get pictures. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. Kathy Coates is in Sterling. Michelle Fairfield's in Peoria. Rosemarie Gleason is in Annie Oakley Ranch Grove, Oklahoma. We got to check that out sometime. It just seems so perfect. Annie Oakley in Oklahoma. Beverly Goodall is tuned in from Highwood. Lloyd Moncrief is in Ottawa. Debbie Tusick is one of our newest listeners, and she's out in Sandwich. Thank you for checking in, Debbie. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview on the C. Crane Radio. Judy B. also listening on her C. Crane Radio. J.P. John Paul tuned into the 50,000-watt love pump. Roy Phillips is in Northwest Illinois. Bonnie Pearson tuned in, Beverly Ann Goodall, Scott Cooper, Terry Knight, Sharon Malone, Robin Aiken, I'm running out of time, Bonnie Pearson, and Larry Mann. If I missed you, forgive me, but I'll get to you next week, I promise.
Wonder what the temperature is in Oklahoma. Wonder how hot it's been.
Yeah. Oh,
speaking of, we heard from a friend of ours earlier this week in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Where the actual temperature was 117.
Do you remember what they said? It was on the tarmac?
It was like 160.
Yes.
On the tarmac. Literally, the planes weren't able to take off. That's nuts.
Again, my thought was, why aren't the tires of the planes all squishy and melty and
you would think.
Flat? And if you're walking out there on your tennis shoes, I mean, is it humid out? It's not humid, though. It's desert.
Yeah, it's probably a dry heat.
Yeah, it's probably a little more bearable. Oh, Lawrence, Kansas just checked in. That's Rick Lyson in Lawrence, Kansas. Tom in Tinley Park, love the Rialto Square. Janet's in Pittsburgh. Again, I apologize if I missed you. I'll catch you next week.
There is this thing called the Fest for Beatles Fans that's going on this weekend in Rosemont.
Out in Rosemont, and our resident Beatleologist, Wally Podrajic, joins us tonight from the Fest for Beatles Fans. How are you, Wally?
I'm fine, and what's really funny is I feel like I'm getting a Hard Day's Night in stereo because I heard what you just played, and in the room next to the room I'm in is the video room, and they're playing A Hard Day's Night.
Wow. So how was the turnout this year?
Oh, you know, I guess it was okay. You know my problem? I'm so focused on what I'm doing, conducting discussions, performances, et cetera. I couldn't give you a hard number, but I can give you an enthusiastic. I certainly saw discussions filled and plenty of people gathered for the concerts and what have you.
And so, this has been going
pretty good.
It's been going on since Thursday night. Thursday evening it started at 5. Friday, excuse me, it would be Friday, right?
Friday, 7.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got ready for it on Thursday because...
Exactly.
And what exactly are you doing there this year, Wally?
Well, I wear a couple of hats, but the main thing I do is conduct discussions, trivia contests, and what do they have me? A panel moderator, and so the variety of panels would be sometimes it's simply a discussion about a particular topic. Yesterday. And again today, local filmmaker or the Chicago-based filmmaker John Anderson was doing a sneak preview of a film about Joey Molland, someone who passed away, who used to be a key member of the group Badfinger, mm-hmm. and had kept the legacy going on. And as you say, sadly passed away within the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this biographical. Film that John Anderson's been working on for years, and so I was doing the introduction of the filmmaker and discussion afterwards and a perspective, and what was delightful about that, of course, is that I know John back from my days at Northwestern as a student.
Oh, wow.
And he was a student, too.
Yeah.
So when I know how involved he gets and how much he enjoys telling the stories of musicians. This definitely was a labor of love. And then I also had a panel that I was, it was called Got My Mind Set on George.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Jenny Boyd, sister-in-law to Harrison, Chris O'Dell, who used to work at the Apple. It was one of the people on the rooftop when the famous rooftop concert appeared. She was one of four people in the, quote, audience that was sitting on a bench not far from where George was playing. And then Yvonne Innes, the widow of Neil Innes, who was part of the Ruddles, part of something called the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and essentially a very brilliant comic musical person. And so I had them all on a panel, and we were just talking about George and the Beatles and the experience of being a woman in that world and being a strong, assertive person who had her own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they've seen it all. And so they were sharing. I mean, some of the details were very fun. Like, what was your most memorable image of George Harrison? Well, he was into like acupuncture and such. And so she, Yvonne was saying, well, seeing him riding on a bicycle with needles all in his hair. So yeah, it was the time.
Yeah. If only there'd been pictures with cell phones to get a picture of that.
But the thing is, it's a type of detail, affectionate detail. You know, someone said the best way to understand FS, and I'll explain all the other things going on besides just what I do, is that it's you're with people who are of similar spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You're with your folks, and you are singing, you are getting your respective illusions, you are enjoying discussions, you are enjoying films, you are enjoying the whole range. What's really exciting is there are multiple stages besides, and I'll get to some of the main guests, but we also have something called the Apple Jam stage, where multiple smaller groups perform. And so you will see folks doing their thing, whether it be showcasing ukuleles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Beatles ukulele jam, telling stories through songs, soulful Beatles, the Caruso Beatles.
It's
all over the place.
Have you seen the Sergeant Sauerkraut polka band?
I've seen them perform in the past.
Uh-huh.
I know members of that.
Uh-huh.
Band, and so I'm going to see them tomorrow because they're doing a performance at the beginning of the afternoon. So that'll be fun. I mentioned some other things. Jenny Boyd was talking about her books, Jennifer Juniper and Icons of Rock. Jim McCarty from the Yardbirds, a founding member of the Yardbirds, was interviewed. Simon Kirk from Bad Company 3 and Ringo's All-Star Bands.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Asher of
Peter
and Gordon, and also wonderful producer. He was, his latest involvement with the Beatles world was he's a producer on Barbara Streisand's latest album.
Yeah.
What are some of the faces there? Well, how about Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
With a duet with Barbara Streisand on My Valentine.
And not just because it's Paul McCartney, but that is one of my absolute favorite tracks from that album.
Yeah.
Both of them brought their A game to that.
Oh, yeah, 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 definitely. And also, Peter Asher was a longtime producer for James Taylor. And
mm-hmm.
guess what? James Taylor's on that album, too.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Deason, who was one of the actors in the I Wanna Hold Your Hand movie about the kids trying to get into the Ed Sullivan show, trying to win tickets and all.
Yeah.
And he was one of the characters there, and he was telling stories about that, and then they were playing the I Wanna Hold Your Hand movie and doing a little interview with him afterwards. And so, as I say, it's very busy and joyful. I think that's probably the main thing, is that it's joyful, whether you're talking about Beatles trivia, Name That Tune, different discussions, and people just saying, this is why I'm here, because I really enjoy and want to share the positive influence that I felt with the connection with Beatles music.
Right, and
Even if you're a 14-year-old, you've got that connection.
Peter Asher, one of the guests at the fest this year, and back in the day, there were so many groups that wanted to have that Beatles sound, but also the Beatles, because they had so much stuff going on, they didn't mind and, in fact, wrote some songs and encouraged some of these other groups to do what they wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Peter Asher for Peter and Gordon had an extra in that Paul McCartney was spending, at the Asher household for about a year and a half or 2 years. So they weren't roomies, but they were flatmen. They were apartment mates. They were housemates, basically. And so, as a matter of fact, to briefly do the particular song that you're talking about, that you played, Asher said, so, Paul, there was that song that you were working on. So, no, we're not going to do it. I just put it aside. Would you mind? Could we do it? Uh-huh. Well, I still need to finish it. Could you? Yeah, sure. Boom, boom, boom. Here you go. And it's like, okay, that's how Paul McCartney works.
Wow.
And then there were a couple more songs that he did, which Paul specifically said, here's another one for you, here's another one for you. And so that was a delight, of course, for Peter Asher. It started his career, basically.
I don't know the answer to this, but as I was thinking about some of the groups and songs from that area, have the Hollies or anyone from the Hollies ever been at the Fest for Beatles fans?
Boy, I do not have an index. Remember, they've been doing this more than 50 years.
Yeah.
And I cannot say yes and I cannot say no. But what I would also look at is maybe some members from the Hollies, one or two might have been part of the Ringo Starr's All-Star Band, too.
I think you're right.
You don't see them. But, in fact, if I may, for just a half second on Ringo, I really have to admire the approach he took, which started back in, like, at the end of the 80s. So, look, I can't front an entire show by myself. And so let me do, in effect, what they used to do back in Great Britain in like the 62, 63 touring, is you'd have these package shows. Everybody doesn't play 2 hours. Everybody's part of a longer show. You have your best songs, basically. And so Ringo replicated that and had gets maybe about 5 or 6 different performers. Say, okay, you got your number one hit, you got your number one hit, you got your little special album type of song, you go to it. And so that way he does his songs, and then he has a strong support team that is sharing the stage with him. And that's, I keep seeing that again and again, talking about why this continues to work, is that there are multiple generations who all find commonality in the music being celebrated. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you've just started learning how to play the guitar, you're connecting with someone mm-hmm. who's been doing it for like 50 years. I mentioned to someone, one of the other staff people here, I was walking by and I saw a young lady, and I'm going to guess it's her boyfriend, and they were looking at the program. They didn't know I was looking at them, but I could see the excitement in her face, the pleasure in her face. They're looking at what are the things that we can do, and it brought a smile. It's like, because we want to be here, we want to be doing this, and we want to look at all the different ways that we can listen to or play or talk about the music that means so much to us.
Well, you mentioned Ringo and how he constructed his All-Star Tours. I'm assuming you saw his special on CBS, Ringo Starr at the Ryman.
Gosh,
that was wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, when I do the trivia, that added a whole new category, mm-hmm. not just Ringo, but I said, well, this is a good excuse to do C&W Beatles, that is country and
yeah.
western. Mm-hmm. They've been doing country and western, not just Beatles, like I Don't Want to Spoil the Party, things like that, going earlier in their careers. And that was just like the perfect venue, perfect album, perfect special showcasing Ringo doing what he loved doing. And he got a real all-star mix, speaking of that approach,
yeah.
of country people to both old and new to say, here are some great songs. You didn't realize what a strong country and western backbone, well, Ringo in particular, but yeah. the Beatles themselves had.
Because if you look at some of their early albums, I mean, Ringo was there doing Buck Owens and
right.
Carl yeah. Perkins, and just his appreciation for country goes deep.
Oh yeah, and in fact, in that same special you're talking about, I believe there's an interview with Paul who said, "Yeah, Ringo was sort of mm-hmm. there before we were."
yeah,
that's right.
He brought us in, and that's great.
When you're up there and you're doing either trivia or it's a panel discussion, do you ever look out yeah. in the audience and you think, "Well, I recognize these people because I've been doing this for a few years and they've grown up coming to this."
Oh yeah!
I'm sure
there are multiple generations. I'm not going to say this is the. Sometimes there are like three generations in the same family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're the parents who've been doing it for a while, and then their kids, and then their kids' kids are all there. And I've said it time and time again. The we playing like Name That Tune, for instance. They get it in 4 seconds. Okay.
And one of the cool things about their kids' kids is they're not being dragged there by their parents or grandparents.
Right.
They're being there because they dig the music and
yeah.
they dig the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. They want to be there for part of it. And so that's what makes it, as they say to me, a joyous occasion. And it continues tomorrow. I mean, it starts at a little bit before noon and goes... checking the schedule, and then the closing concert starts at like 8:30 at night tomorrow with the group Liverpool. So you've got a full lineup on the main stage. I mentioned the Apple Jam stage, the paperback writer room, that's where I do my discussions, mm-hmm. the video room, and a second discussion room because we can't fit them all in one discussion. And actually, the last panel I'm going to be on tomorrow is the multi-generational Beatles fan panel.
Oh, great.
So there are reps from different generations with very different and strong opinions on the best way to enjoy this. I mean, the whole idea of, do you have to listen to it in the order on the album? Well, yeah, or not. You know, here's how we're getting it.
Yeah.
We want either, well, for instance, someone was interviewing me once and asked me what my favorite Beatles song was, and I told them, and I asked him, well, what's your favorite? And he said, Octopus's Garden. I went, really?
Huh.
And then I thought, of course, because as a kid, that would be one of the first songs you would probably have heard.
Yep. Very true.
And he said, yeah, exactly. That's mm-hmm. what it goes back to.
Wow.
So, it's just a lot of fun.
I'm looking at the marketplace and the things that are available to buy, and it never ceases to amaze me. I mean, everything from socks to coffee mugs to hoodies, you name it. I have to ask you, did you walk by there and say, with everything that I own, I must have? Was there anything that you had to buy from the marketplace?
I usually end up going more toward books. I have enough socks to see me through. I mean, the occasional T-shirt looks pretty neat too. But like for instance, the guest authors like Ginny Boyd has a mm-hmm. new book about icons of rock, and there's just looking at the. There's a guy who was a lawyer for John Lennon, has a book, Lennon, the Mobster and the Lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And basically that was when Lennon was dealing with as a solo artist, dealing with some lawsuit stuff and all. And he was in the right, and he had a strong lawyer who was able to walk him through.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I will put a book request out. I used to have one of the original paperback copies of Brian Epstein's, I believe it was A Cellar Full of Noise.
Oh, you sell it for the money, sure, yeah.
If you see a clean copy of that and you can grab it for me, I would really appreciate it.
I would be happy to do so. I know I had at least two copies on my own shelf, different editions of it, because that has been reprinted a couple times, and because it is Brian Epstein telling his story, I think one of the reprints has like a 40-page background on the man. He's telling the story, but let's give you, now that we've had the benefit of hindsight, let's give you more background of what story he's telling you. You know, how did he get there? And I think that came out, that particular edition came out when they were lobbying to get Brian at last inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And he is a member now.
Wally, enjoy yourself for the rest of the fest for Beatles fans, and thanks for joining us tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Wally.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
I wanted to touch on something that I have seen happening increasingly. Now, I've noticed it mostly on Facebook, but it may be happening on various social media platforms.
And I think it's only been in the past few weeks, maybe the past month, that these things have been happening.
It's a lot of information about, Alan Jackson, here was what I saw. Alan Jackson is doing one more tour with George Strait.
Yeah. Wow.
And you think,
that's a great duet.
No. Then there was this other one that I just saw last night. Barry Gibb is doing one final farewell tour. And boy, is he going to be, this is going to be a Bee Gees tour like you've never seen.
Yeah.
There, and so much of this stuff, it looks really, really real. It's not.
And it's not necessarily AI. It's someone who's making money by fabricating a story that's going to get your attention. And here's what I'm finding is the key to be aware of. When you get the setup and then you have to go to the story in the comments.
It's nothing more than clickbait.
When you click on that, ching, ching, they're making money.
And if you want to verify this stuff, before you click on any of this, go to Alan Jackson's website.
Yeah.
Go to George Strait's website. Go to Barry Gibb's website. Go to any of the original source websites. Look in their tours. That will tell you, is it happening, is it not? And sadly, more and more, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this after midnight with Patrick Crispin. Boy, do you have to be careful about what you're taking as gospel on social media these days.
And use Google. Find out. For example, a couple of weeks ago, there was a story. This was after the tragedy in Texas with the flooding. A story popped up that the most recent winner of American Idol had taken his winnings to pay for the burial of everyone that died in those floods. And I thought, well, this sounds like one of those stories, and how tragic that they're playing off of this horrible loss of life. Well, it turned out that one was real, which was shocking to me. But I did not buy it at the outset because of being just overwhelmed by these fake stories.
Just talking about exactly what you just said, I've seen about five different celebrities credited with doing that same thing.
Yes. And that's why I was suspect.
Yep.
And if that has changed, if my sources were wrong, correct me, please, because honestly, I was shocked when I came to a source that said this actually is true. Our friend John St. Augustine, who spent some time here at this radio station, we interviewed him last year.
Terrific guy.
Yes, and a great writer. And he does a weekly rant You should follow him on Facebook, John St. Augustine. His rant this past week was all about this fake, the BS mm-hmm. stories that look legitimate, or the AI pictures. And as we've often said, look at the hands of the people in these yeah. AI pictures, because usually you'll see three or four fingers that are either missing or added to the hand. There's something about hands that AI has not mastered. And you pointed out last week, another thing AI has not mastered is gender.
What was it? Was it an Elvis thing that I showed you?
Yes.
Now, this was within the past week, and they kind of segued back and forth about three different times from genders.
Yeah. And it was actually humorous, because it's like, really? Elvis?
And it would be very humorous, except for it is feeding into the fake news narrative.
Yes.
And trust me, not just because we're in this business, there are a lot of very good, very hardworking news people, people in the media, whether it's the entertainment end or whatever. The point is, there's a lot of fake stuff out there, a lot of chatbot stuff, a lot of fake AI stuff. If you see anything, verify it.
Like a story that John St. Augustine included in his rant. Green Bay Packers finally honor Jerry Kramer with a statue at Lambeau Field. That's not true. And again, somebody mm-hmm. realized, oh, the Packers have a lot of fans.
Yep.
Let's put that out there. Get them to click on the rest of the story. And when you go to the comments and you see that's where the story is supposedly posted, mm-hmm. when you click on it, it's called clickbait. You're just giving them money. It's money in their pocket.
And if quite often, if there is some story in the news, the clickbait scammers will come up with a spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're now paying attention to fires in California or climate
right.
change
right.
or whoever is doing whatever political thing, mm-hmm. they will try to do a spin to get you to click on their story.
Suck you in. John writes, the tipping point for this rant, after going through a half dozen more total AIBS images, like Tom Brady supposedly attending Ryan Sandberg's funeral and Vince Gill sobbing on stage with Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
He said, this is the one that really tipped me over. And that was about my old pal, John Denver, and the living legend, Willie Nelson. At 92, Willie Nelson shares his true feelings about John Denver. And he goes on to write, no, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, somebody decided. There were a whole bunch of these stories after Ozzy Osbourne passed
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
And again, it's so frustrating. And that's why you said earlier, we're kind of transitioning away from Facebook and trying to get you all to come over to the blog where we can communicate with
yeah.
you. It's just so much direct.
Please do that. And again, if you haven't checked out our blog, it's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we're not going to spam you. If you would subscribe to our blog, we'd appreciate it.
Doesn't cost you anything.
Doesn't cost anything. And you just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And we do a couple of them a week.
Yeah. Everything from recipes to pictures
yeah.
to what's happening on the show. And we can communicate with you there, too, just as we do on Facebook.
And also check out our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And again, we control these sites. We don't control Facebook.
Right.
We don't control X or
Instagram
or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And Blue Sky is our favorite social media platform right now, and you can find us on Blue Sky. But the point is, sadly, it's becoming harder and harder and harder. And I can hear so many people saying, oh, but then I'm just going to ignore it. No, you can't put your head in the sand. It does require some work to find out what's true these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too much work. I waste too much time.
It is too much work, but if you care about, and I'm kind of segueing a little bit here, but if you care about what's going on in our society, in this country,
yeah.
You got to do a little bit of work to separate the fact from fiction, from the clickbait.
Yeah, sadly. We'll take a break, and again, we'll get into technology in the midnight hour because it's Patrick's week here on WGN. Last week when he was in town, we brought him in a little bit earlier and had a great time with Patrick and Tom
together. Had a lot of good reaction to that, too.
Yeah.
We may occasionally have them on at the same time.
Terrific.
Just their interchange was fun.
We heard from a listener who was at the Desplaines Theater's 100th birthday tonight. Last week, we talked with Ron Onesti. He's the mover and shaker that makes all those things happen at the Arcata in St. Charles and the Desplaines Theater. And the listener said it was a great time. We know that the Ides of March were going to be the band for the show tonight.
Mickey Dolenz was there, Priscilla Presley.
So I sent a text to our listener and said, Priscilla Presley was there, right? And I was kind of looking for information about what she was going to do, because even Ron didn't explain to us what Priscilla was going to be doing on the stage. Apparently, she did an interview. Ron interviewed her at the beginning of the show. Mm. And I guess when Mickey Dolenz came out, he was also interviewed. And then there was a special, you could meet and greet with Priscilla after the fact if you had a ticket for that as well. But it sounds like it was a great time at the Desplaines Theater as well.
I think of Priscilla Presley, and I think of going to the original Naked Gun.
Yes.
With Bob Collins and Christine. And it was, I don't know why. We were the only four people in the theater.
I know. It was a matinee.
It was a matinee, and literally, it's good that we were the only four people in the theater because we were laughing our heads off.
I think we threw popcorn up in the air. We were
And if you've never seen the original Naked Gun, go see the original Naked Gun.
We were like teenagers in the theater. We were embarrassing.
As you know, I rarely laugh out loud while I'm watching TV or movies, or and I was on the floor.
Let me just quickly turn to the audience. So you just sit there. Are you with your significant other, and you find yourself saying, why are you laughing? I'm laughing. How often do I say that to you? Don't you find this funny? And you say, yes. And I'm, of course, you know, crying. I'm laughing so hard. And you say, yeah, I do. But you're right. That was one of those instances where you were just silly.
If I'm not being vocal, it doesn't mean I don't enjoy something. I just, you know, I can enjoy things and say, oh, that's kind of cool. But Naked Gun, I was laughing out loud.
Yes. Okay. I told you this today, and I can't explain it, but every time I see a little video of Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson, it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I'm like a kid. I just watch the video over and over again. I look at their body language. They both look deliriously happy.
And I think it was Jamie Lee Curtis, and I can't quote what she said, but basically she was responding to some of the people who were critiquing this relationship.
A lot of people say they're just doing that to market the movie.
Doesn't look like it. And as Jamie Lee said, if they're enjoying themselves, let them have it.
Leave them alone.
Let them have a nice relationship, and whatever happens, happens. It's their lives. Let them do it.
He tragically lost his wife.
Yeah.
There's no indication that he's even dated in all of these years, something like 16 years. And they're the most unlikely couple. I mean, if you said, take two celebrities and put them together, Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, I just would not go there. But together, their body language is just so sweet.
You can usually tell when someone is doing a media tour with the other cast members. These two seem so relaxed with each other and like they're really genuinely enjoying each other's company. And
finishing
good for them.
Each other's sentences.
Yeah.
And you know what? I knew that this, in my opinion, it was the real thing because she's already made bread for him. She made him a birthday cake. I know.
Yep.
She went right to the heart of it. Let me feed him, you know, right?
One of our first dates, chocolate chip cookies.
And I had never made chocolate chip cookies in my life because I always thought they were too dangerous. If I make them, I'll just eat them. So I thought, well, I'll make them for this guy and see what happens. And that was it.
Julian, is that a thing for you if someone you're dating makes fill in the blanks? Cakes, cookies,
bread
lasagna, tacos, whatever. Does it score points or not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone who says otherwise, come on.
I know, really.
Well, who doesn't love a little sugar from their sugar?
Well said.
Nicely phrased. Yes.
Real quick before we take a break, I want to get your review of a play that you saw this past week.
Oh, yeah.
You were up in Skokie at the Performing Arts Center?
North Shore Center for the Performing, yeah. Performing Arts.
Isn't that a great theater?
Oh, delightful. It's yeah. massive.
It's easy to park. You just
and
waltz
right
in. And
I believe they have three or four different theaters in
yeah, there's
building.
A few. Yeah. And it's kind of funny you mentioned that. When my friend and I, we were going in to see it, a couple people came up. They were in line, and they said, I'm here to see the show. Here's my ticket. And like, oh, you're at the wrong theater.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So many people were going to the wrong theaters.
Huh. So you went to see Fiddler on the Roof.
I did. First time I've ever seen it.
What'd you think?
It was delightful. It was a lot of fun. And there was a lot of heart to it.
Mm-hmm. So you'd never seen the movie either?
No, I've never seen any ounce of Fiddler. Nothing.
Zero Mostel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But do you know the songs, didn't you? Didn't you say, oh, what? Oh, that sounds familiar. If I Were a Rich Man?
Yeah, I've heard that one. There were a few others that I've heard, and I guess it must have been such a big cultural thing in theater that I've heard it in other movies, and you know, referencing Fiddler on the Roof.
Where did we see Fiddler in town? It was with some big star. I want to say we weren't impressed with the acoustics.
Yeah.
Were the acoustics good at the North Shore?
Very good. I was up in the balcony, front row on a balcony.
Uh-huh.
And I could hear everything clearly. It was good.
How long is it going to be there?
I want to say the 17th.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, good. I'd like to see it.
Did we see Fiddler at the Eric Crown, which has the worst acoustics of any theater ever built in any country?
We left at the intermission.
Got it.
Because
there was that, and there was Porgy and Bess, which I love Porgy and Bess, and the acoustics were horrible.
It was,
yeah.
And was like, what?
Ugh.
And those were not cheap seats either. So, well.
We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin, the man who is the director of educational technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC, who was in our living room last week, but now is back on the left coast. Hey, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Woo! How are you guys doing?
Good.
This is actually, while we have we've texted with Patrick, we haven't actually talked with you since you landed back on the left coast. Good trip?
Yeah, we had a bumpy trip home, but we are glad to be home. It's been busy since we landed because, you know, lots and lots of things to catch up at work, but I'm glad to be here tonight.
But one of the coolest things was the video that we were sent of our dancing grandson when he got opened up his Concorde plane.
Oh.
He's been wanting this Concorde forever and ever. Gemini Jets makes these model planes, and the Gemini Jet Concorde, unfortunately, hasn't been made in a couple years. So you can only buy it on eBay. And we looked at the price and said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not spending that amount of money on it, and you're not going to sucker me into getting this for you. Unfortunately, Johnny is not nearly as strong as I am.
Hey.
And broke down and bought it for him and shipped it here. So he got it, and he's had his happy dance and has been running around playing.
Patrick, you should know.
Yeah.
That's what Gigi's are for. Because initially I found one on eBay. What happened to my voice?
Because you have
it. It's after midnight.
But not only is it after midnight, but you made some wonderful, wonderful little cupcakes, and you want to explain what they are? They are so good.
Well, I've renamed them Christine Cakes because Christine, Patrick's wife, said, I love these. And I said, okay, these will be your cakes. So I had to make them for tonight to bring them in. But back to what I was saying about the Concorde, I had fun on eBay. And originally we found one and we were watching it on eBay and only found out a couple of days into the mission. Each day we would look to see it was our bid being accepted or not, and we were real low bidders. But we found out the windshield was missing. And then all of a sudden, this one popped up, and it was in a box, and it was new, and it was amazing. And I'm like, okay, I'll bite. And I'm glad it worked out.
And this was really seeing Joseph's reaction, because the idea that he could get a brand new one.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And the seller's like an hour. The guy lives like an hour from you guys. So, well, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
In fact, can we start with a little unfinished business from the last time that Patrick was on with us? And by the way, as we talk about all this technology stuff, you do not have to take notes, because Patrick's technology notes will appear magically on our blog. But last time we posted your technology notes, a listener had a question, because we were talking about the new Ubiquiti router, and a listener had a question: is it better to own the router or rent from the supplier?
And I don't have a simple answer, because it really depends. If you rent a router, the benefits are there's no upfront cost. You're paying for it every month forever and ever and ever. It's usually $8, $10, $12, $15 a month. If it breaks, the ISP is on the hook to send you a free one. If it breaks, the ISP is also there to fix it for you, and they can troubleshoot it remotely. And it's easier to troubleshoot, because you don't have to worry. It's not me, it's the ISP. You just call the ISP and they fix it. So you get sort of a peace of mind in return. You're paying forever and ever and ever. If you go and buy your own router, the benefits are that there is a lower long-term cost. You pay a couple hundred dollars up front, decent router, $100, $200. We paid almost $300 for the Ubiquiti Dream Router 7. But it pays for itself in a year or two. Rental fees, and after that, you are making money every month. You can get better performance, because your new router is actually going to have the newer features with faster speed, shorter range, actually could be even longer range, and newer tech like Wi-Fi 6 or 7. You get to control what happens with the router. So parental control, security settings, when the firmware is being pushed. And if you end up moving, you just unplug it, go to your new place, plug it in, and you have a router with you. So which do you do? I can't give you the answer. Honestly, it really depends on how comfortable you are with technology and how much you're willing to pay. If you don't know what 192.168.1.1 is, that's, by the way, the web address to log into your router settings, you should rent. But everybody else, and if you're willing to pay it, buying, I kind of a big fan of it. But again, it's up to you.
And again, in our specific case, the Ubiquiti router, and this is a router that Patrick recommended to us, it is absolutely perfect for what we needed for, which was to increase the amount of human beings and machines that would be on that router. And going along with that, we went with Astound as our provider, but the combination of both of them just really worked for us. Now, it may not work for everybody, and again, as Patrick said, it is a little more expensive than some of the routers, but I don't know the answer to this question, Patrick. If you are renting a router, do you know of any services that supply a router that handles Wi-Fi 6 or 7? I don't know if they do.
Yeah, some do. And actually, I think if you, if I recall, the Verizon Home Gateway actually did Wi-Fi 6. And I think some of the modern cable modem slash routers that you get from the cable modem companies are going to have Wi-Fi 6 on it, but they may not have Wi-Fi 7. Wi-Fi 7 is a new one that is super duper fast, but very, very few routers support it. I know the Dream Router we got you actually does, which is one of the reasons why we got it.
But again, the short answer is, it's what you're comfortable with.
Right, right. Listener just texted Patrick and said, on the Ubiquiti 7, do you recommend the extended service plan?
Honestly, it's up to you. I don't really do that for the UI. I don't. They're pretty robust.
Mm-hmm. And let's take a moment for anybody who's in the market for a router. We told the story last week when we knew Patrick was coming to town. I said, I'm going to get that router. I went on Amazon. I wrote to you and said, does this look good? And you said, no, no, no. This is the case. Do not buy it on Amazon because apparently some underhanded things were going on, like older routers were being packaged and upselling it like by $100, right?
Yeah, if you tried to get a Dream Router on Amazon, some people were going and getting Dream Router 6s, which are only sort of the older model, and which are no longer available. And because they're no longer available, oh, well, it's rare, so I'm going to charge $389 for this thing, when you can get a Dream Router 7, the latest one, for $279.
Yeah.
Again, we've been talking about the Dream Router. This is a small business router, and it is very complicated. So I do not recommend it unless you actually know how to get in and you can figure out, okay, I want this antenna to be this wide.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Or if you have Patrick stop by the house for a week or two, and that works out well too.
And usually we take a little while before we get to the weekend hacks, but there is a hacking story that a ton of people are asking us about, so we'd like to move it to the front of the pack for the moment.
Because Google, of course, is a big part of our lives, and there's a story that broke in the past few days about Google being hacked. So what do we know, Patrick?
We've talked about phishing a lot over the years, and phishing is basically when somebody tries to trick you into giving up your personal information, like passwords or credit cards. We used to call it social engineering, and usually you get a text or an email or a fake website, and it looks legitimate, and you click on a link, and then it takes your personal information. There's also something called vishing, V-I-S-H-I-N-G, that's short for voice phishing. Basically the same scam, different medium. Instead of email, scammers call you pretending to be your bank, the IRS, tech support, and they basically pressure you into either giving sensitive information or giving you access to their systems. So vishers have actually been going around and scamming target company employees. They're contacting employees to trick them into giving the bad guys access to the company's Salesforce account. Hmm. Salesforce is just basically a popular database platform. And once the bad guys get inside, the attackers download the customer data and then contact the company and say, ha, 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 I have your data. Give me a whole bunch of money or I'm going to release it. So Salesforce, the reason why everybody's kind of going after Salesforce is thousands and thousands and thousands of companies use Salesforce to store customer contact information. And one of those companies is Google. And some employee somewhere got vished at Google. And one of Google's own Salesforce customer relationship management databases was breached and some customer data was stolen. It's about 2.55 million data records. Not sure if there are any duplicates in that. So what does that mean to you and me? We all use Google for everything. Mm-hmm. So obviously 2.5 million, million data records, so we have to be afraid, right? No, not at all. Because honestly, this doesn't mean anything to you and me. The stolen information came from a Google Salesforce account holding contact details and notes at about a small number of small and medium-sized businesses that Google had identified and saying, you know what? These companies might someday want to buy AdSense ads for us. So let's take the company's names and phone numbers and add some related notes, and we'll have a salesperson contact these people and try to sell ads to them. Most of this information is public information, but in this hack, no Gmail accounts were hacked. No Google passwords were hacked. No consumer financial data was involved in any. It is basically a Salesforce database of companies that Google says might someday in the future might buy AdSense. And by the way, if your company is a Google AdSense customer, in other words, if you are paying Google to do ads, this doesn't impact you either. Hmm. So it's not your Google Ads account, not Google Merchant Center, Google Analytics, or any ads project. Google basically already found out who was breached in this, or who's basic, you know, someone got a telephone book and found the information, and Google contacted the companies and said, hey, this is, you know, be aware. No, they didn't pay the ransom. Bottom line, basically just a targeted attack on one business database, not a breach of your personal Google account. Your Gmail, your Google Docs, your Drive files, perfectly fine. Don't worry about it.
Two things. One, I believe that Google did a post on this on their blog. But also, maybe dumb question, as big as Google is, why didn't they come up with some way to keep all this data themselves rather than farming it out to somebody else to keep it?
Because sometimes you actually go and you find the companies that do things really, 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 really well. And when it comes to CRM, Salesforce is the best in the world. They have the tallest building in San Francisco for a reason. Everybody is using Salesforce. It is, they just do it better than anybody else. And Google could spend billions of dollars going and inventing their own CRM, or they just buy Salesforce or lease Salesforce. So they're just a Salesforce customer like everyone else. Every company you can think of is a Salesforce company. Every institution you can think of is a Salesforce company. And because of that, the hackers are trying to get into your Salesforce databases by contacting your employees saying, hey, I'm from Salesforce. I need you to go and do something for us. And, you know, a low-level employee could accidentally give the bad guys access to your CRM, and that's a bad thing.
I just wish stories would present what you just shared with us, because I'm looking at a story. I'm looking at headlines on two stories. Check your Google account. Google has been hacked. I'm like, well, really?
No, it hasn't.
I believe, one of the stories, I believe, was from Forbes.
Forbes. In fact, Forbes, here's a paragraph. Google has confirmed that there's been a massive spike in the number of attacks against Google users. Now, you see, that sentence alone makes you think, well, I'm a Google user, and they just said that they've been hacked. So if you don't go any further, you're thinking, oh, Lord, that's me. And the article says specifically, being password-stealing threats delivered by email, which increased by 84% last year, which I don't doubt. And they say it only intensified in 2025. So I guess we're getting close to 100% if it was 84% last year. If you need proof of the danger of these info stealer attacks, we could point you to any number of reports. But to be honest, you've probably already read them. I'm like, what's that paragraph other than scaring me?
Exactly.
I honestly don't really pay much attention to Forbes. It used to be an amazing magazine, and they kind of have become slop, and I don't really trust their reporting at all.
I think AI is writing it.
Well, what happened?
I just think it was a lot of basically putting out a good magazine costs a lot of money, and there isn't a lot of money in it anymore. You could actually, you know, they were hiring anybody off the street to write articles for them. I could write an article for them and it would be published next week. And it doesn't matter that I don't know what I'm talking about a lot, 99% of the time.
84% of the time.
Our team here is, as I think they say on Channel 2, always investigating. And Patrick, you remember we played this last week and loved it. It's Social Media Blues by someone or something called Oog Might. And our investigative team member, Julian, did some investigating. And what have you unearthed, Julian?
Well, no concrete evidence, but a lot of speculation and a lot of evidence that suggests that this music, as well as the rest of their music by this group, spelled O-U-G-H-M-I-T-E, is theoretically AI.
Wow.
And what did you discover that leads you to this conclusion?
As I was digging through some of their music, I noticed that a lot of these albums were released almost back to back. They have 13 albums that were all released in 2025.
Wow.
And some of them were on the same day. But the one of the other things that kind of gave it away was a lot of these album covers are clearly AI generated. And another thing I noticed in one of the first ones, if you want to call it first, if they're all released side by side, there are two songs that are basically the same title. And as I'm scrolling through, it's just the same format. It's very clearly AI. Humans did not come up with this.
If that's AI, that is one of the best AI vocals I've ever heard.
That's scary good.
Well, wow.
That leads us to an AI segment of our conversation with Dr. Patrick Crispin. Patrick, let's talk a little bit about the latest ChatGPT 5.0, not 5.0.
Everybody's been using ChatGPT. There's a new version that got released on Thursday, and it's kind of a mixed bag. And by the way, yes, Johnny, it is spelled 5.0 with the letter O, not 0. No human being can actually explain why they don't use numbers, but their naming schema is as mysterious as it's always been. If you are a typical ChatGPT user, free or paid, ChatGPT 5.0, absolutely really cool. I mean, it's mostly good news. Under the hood, what they do differently than you've had in version 4 is there's a new automated feature. You never see this. And it's called a router, not like an internet router, but it's more like a switchboard operator. And the way it works is you go to ChatGPT or open up the ChatGPT app. You ask it a question like you normally would. And the router takes a second and thinks. And it says, you know what? I'm going to look at that question. I'm going to figure out which ChatGPT AI model is best suited to answer this request. And then it sends that question to that model and gives you the answer. And according to OpenAI, this new routing actually cuts the risk of hallucinations. By the way, jargon alert, hallucination is just when an AI gives you an answer that sounds true, but it's just completely made up and wrong. The new smart routing cuts the risk of AI hallucinations from about 1 in 5 with older models to 1 in 20. This is huge. So you're going to get really better answers. Not necessarily faster, maybe a little faster. So if you're a free user, this is fantastic. And if you're a paid user, ChatGPT also now has a paid version or built into the paid version, this new personality setting. So you go into customize ChatGPT and you can actually choose to have ChatGPT from here on be a cynic. So it gives you nothing but sarcastic and dry responses.
Okay.
You can have it. No, no. I want you to be a robot. Give me precise. Be data from Android from Star Trek. No extra words. Be a listener. So in other words, be empathetic and warm and reflective. And don't you dare call me this nerd. Yes, well, I am a nerd. Playful, curious, enthusiastic about explaining things. And you get to choose the personality. So this sounds really good. You're going to have this new router behind the scenes picking up the best agent. You've got the new personality if you're a paid subscriber. There's a catch. If you were an advanced ChatGPT user, and those are really those of us who pay for ChatGPT accounts, not the free accounts. You had the ability to choose exactly which model you were using anytime you gave a task. So you might say, okay, I'm going to use ChatGPT 4.0. Really good for chats, and it's fast, but not as smart as other ChatGPT models. Most everybody was using 4.0. Even if you go and ask somebody what model you're using and say ChatGPT, they're using ChatGPT 4.0. But there were those of us who were using different models of ChatGPT, like 0.3, which was really great for reasoning and problem solving. I used that when I did the faculty survey analysis for the USC, where we had about 580 faculty responses, and I wanted to do some sentiment analysis. I used 0.3 to do that. It's smarter. It's lower area of errors, but it's slower. There's also 0.3 Pro, which is for reasoning, mini, nano. Power users, we actually kind of figured out how to pick the right model, and we built workflows, trainings. We had team assignments all built around picking the right model at the right time. And these aren't hobbyists who are doing this. This is professionals, people who have integrated ChatGPT into their training, their coding, research, the stuff they're selling to clients. Changing that could actually break those processes, and ChatGPT 5.0 turns that off. You can't choose different submodels anymore. The router decides for you, and sometimes it gives you the top tier model. Sometimes it gives you really weak ones like GPT 5 Nano.
That's a weird change.
I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to do it for the general public, but it's producing some bad outputs, especially if you're doing complex work. An example is, imagine you're an attorney, and you're using ChatGPT, and you give ChatGPT a dozen different court cases, and you say, okay, I want you to go and look at across these dozen different court cases or legal documents, kind of give me a summary. You don't want ChatGPT to be switching to a cheap and fast model mid-case. You want it to, give me the best that I can get.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I kind of put this in the show notes, but this is sort of more esoteric. The router doesn't just pick the model. It also picks how long the model thinks before responding. And that actually could be a problem for us. Is there a fix? If you're a paid user, maybe you can control the model tier via your API. You have to be a technical person to understand what I just said. If not, you can explicitly select GPT-5 thinking or GPT-5 Pro. OpenAI says they're going to turn 4.0 back on for 60 days. They're going to fix the model picker, but if you're a casual user, GPT-5, greatest thing ever. Use it. You're going to love it. Better answers, less fuss. If you're an advanced user,
maybe
boo.
Yeah.
But we hope they fix this.
I wonder.
Dumb question. This isn't like you're upgrading to Windows 11, but you choose to still stay with Windows 7. You don't have the option of staying with one of those earlier versions?
No. If you go into ChatGPT and do the pull down, you can choose model. Right now, it says you can have GPT-5 thinking or GPT-5 Pro, and that's it. 4.0 was not an option tonight.
I want to bring this down to the layman's use of ChatGPT. I learned from your wife over the past 2 weeks some fabulous ways to use it that I, frankly, I was unaware of. She says if she goes to the kitchen and she realizes that she has chicken and some frozen vegetables and some chicken broth and some cheese, she goes to ChatGPT and says, I would like to make something with these ingredients. Give me some recipes. And sure enough, there she gets recipes with exactly what she's got available to her. She also said that she was looking at possibility of taking a trip, I guess, around Thanksgiving. So let's go to Seattle with a 9-year-old boy who's crazy about airplanes. What can we do in Seattle with those parameters? And gave her all kinds of good stuff that, yeah, she could sit there and Google it and see what was available, but it was right there at her fingertips. I thought those were great examples of just the average person using ChatGPT for actually very good reasons.
And you would think that if nothing else, you could take those ChatGPT answers and use them then to narrow down your search that you continue to do.
Right, right.
And one of the things that we were talking about off the air last week when Patrick was here was the question of new phones, yes, new phones, no. And specifically iPhones. And Patrick, the answer is?
Hell no. Under no circumstances should you be buying an iPhone right now. If you buy an iPhone right now, you are a fool who is about to be part of your money. iPhones are wonderful. They're fantastic. New ones are coming next month. Literally 4 weeks from now, Apple is going to go and have a special event. They're going to announce the iPhone 17. The iPhone 16 that all of the companies are going to try to talk you into getting over the next 30 days are going to be $50, $100 cheaper a month from now. And you've got newer phones coming a month from now. They're going to be better in almost every different way. Do not get a new iPhone. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't you think some people are inclined to consider getting one because they're fearful of what the price is going to be? You know, tariffs, made in America. Yeah. What's this going to mean? Am I going to be paying $3,000 for an iPhone? I really think that was the incentive for a lot of folks to just wander into the Apple store.
And let me hold you on that for a second. And not trying to get political here, but reality is, with the increase in Apple manufacturing now coming to the United States, is that going to have an impact on the cost of the new iPhone coming out?
We don't know, but we do expect that the new iPhones are probably going to be about $50 to $100 more across every model. Mm-hmm. But that also means that the iPhone 16, which is currently in stock and you can get it, will be $50 to $100 less if mm-hmm. you can wait a month.
Hmm.
So the point is, regardless of if you're thinking about getting the new latest and greatest, or if you're thinking about getting one of the models that's out now, it is, oh boy, to your advantage to do nothing now and wait for for a month from now.
It's no phone August.
No phone August. Okay. That's the T-shirt. Also on your notes tonight, we want to talk a little bit about video games, playing video games in 2025.
One of the things that we did when we were in Chicago, Steve and I did, was play video games on his downstairs TV. If you want to play a major video game today, the AAA games like Call of Duty or Black Ops 6, Battlefield 6, or even some of the smaller games like Mario Kart World or GTA 6 when it comes out next year, you're going to need two things. You're going to need a copy of the game itself and something to play it along. You get the games pretty much... Well, you used to go to GameStop or Best Buy mm-hmm. or Walmart mm-hmm. or your retailer and get a disc. Most gamers today, you just download the digital game from some storefront like Steam, Battle.net, or Microsoft, PlayStation, Nintendo Store, something like that. Or you subscribe to a Xbox Game Pass or PlayStation Plus. So that takes care of the game. So you don't really need a physical game copy. You get the digital copy of the game. Then you got to have something to run it on. Now, here's the thing. We're not talking about mobile games here, the phone games that we're talking that you play. We're talking about high-end games that really need special hardware. And that can come down to one of three ways. You could do a dedicated game console, like an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5. There are some cheap models of those, but you're not going to get all the bells and whistles that you would get with the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5 Pro. So you probably won't get 4K or higher frame rates with the smaller ones. But you get a game console. You can get a handheld game console. Nintendo Switch 2, everybody's heard about, is about mm-hmm. $450. Or a Nintendo Steam Deck. It's really powerful, but not quite as powerful as a high-end game console or even a PC. And that's really the gold standard, is a gaming PC. If you have a really, really, really good PC with a really, really, really powerful video card, you get the absolute best video game playing experience ever. The problem is that the really, 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 really good video cards start at $1,200 and go up from there.
Wow.
And that's just a video card.
Yikes.
I mean, an RTX 4080 is where I'd say I want a top-of-the-line video card, 4080 or better, is $1,200. But if you want a PC-like experience and don't have a gaming PC, you do have another option. If you have really fast internet, you can stream games from a cloud gaming service like GeForce Now Ultimate from NVIDIA. And that's actually what we did. It's when we were in Chicago on Steve's TV. We were basically running an RTX 4080 class GPU. For those who don't understand what I'm saying, just think like super duper fast video card. It was 4K, 200 frames per second with RTX ray tracing and blah, 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 blah. I pay $20 a month for that. So it's, and I get about 100 hours worth of play, and we're using the new fast internet at Steve's home to basically, we installed the app on his LG TV, connected an Xbox controller to it via Bluetooth, logged into my GeForce Now account, and ended up playing Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. And
I love that game.
We were running around the Vatican punching Nazis.
Yes. but I'm going to pause you there. Not a tech thing, but it's amazing when you're seeing the Vatican, because they actually got this from being in the Vatican. And the,
it's
and
a really, I mean, it's gorgeous. Very extraordinarily high. Well, the done. Rendering was fantastic. Yeah. And again, because I had a 4080 class GPU that was running this thing with ray tracing and everything going on, it was beautiful on the inside and even on the outside. So it's like, oh, I'm in the Vatican. And then later on in the game, you get to go and it's like, oh, I'm in Giza.
Mm-hmm. The only problem is, young man, no one asked my permission for you to do that on my television. But the bottom line is, it's all about streaming.
Yep.
And that's just the way
it
is.
You just have to have a really fast and stable internet connection, about 20 to 40 megabits per second. And then you have to have an NVIDIA GeForce Now account. I pay for the NVIDIA GeForce Now Ultimate, and I think it's $20 a month.
Well, I'm sorry, boys, who used to deliver newspapers for a little bit of pocket change. A, there are no newspapers for you to deliver, and you'll never, ever be able to play these games based on what you're making on your newspaper route.
But I want to segue from this to, we talked last week, and you can find in last week's technology notes, mm-hmm. about the new router and how we got Astound as our provider now, and they were terrific. But that is running what's going on throughout the whole house. We still have a desktop that we're using on DSL, mm-hmm. and it's fine for what we're doing with it, but we try to connect it to our home Wi-Fi unsuccessfully. You want to explain all this, Patrick?
Yeah, your Windows 10 desktop did not have a network card in it, or a wireless network card in it. So we went out and bought an MSI AX1800 Wi-Fi USB adapter, plugged it in, put in the drivers, and I couldn't for the life of me get that connected to the Wi-Fi. I couldn't figure it out. We tried the drivers, wasn't a driver issue. We got the no internet secured message. What was weird is I tried to connect your phone or the MSI AX1800 to my phone.
It worked fine.
When I turned on the hotspot, worked perfectly. So I had hotspot on. So it's not a Wi-Fi issue. It just couldn't connect to the wireless. If anybody has any suggestions, reach out to me, because I'm confused. I tried all the different things that I know in the background. I could not get this. It's an MSI. They make good stuff. We know that the Wi-Fi USB adapter works because we were able to get Wi-Fi connected through a hotspot. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't connect to the router.
And literally,
I can't figure out why.
Literally, Patrick and I were working on this for a couple hours and jumping through all the possible hoops, and just didn't work.
Well, real quick, before we break for news on this subject, a listener says, Ubiquiti 7 replaces or connects to the Astound modem.
Yes, it connects to. You have the Astound modem, and then you have an Ethernet jack that goes from the back of your Astound modem into the second port from the bottom on the Ubiquiti router. Remember, the bottom port is meant for fiber. You want to go for the second port for the one that has a little globe next to it. And that's how you connect it.
And Patrick, I'd like to segue to something that we had several texts about, and I've seen an ad. I don't remember what show we were watching, but this ad came up. It was a WhatsApp ad, and it shows people texting each other, but then it shows other people trying to read the text, and all they're seeing is gobbledygook. And the implication, the message is, boy, WhatsApp keeps your messages private. What do you know about it?
It's absolutely true. There's this new commercial that WhatsApp, well, it's new-ish, that they've been running that says your personal WhatsApp app messages, they're yours. WhatsApp can't read your WhatsApp messages, hear them, or either see them. And it turns out it's absolutely honest and absolutely accurate. Your messages on WhatsApp really, really, truly are private thanks to something called end-to-end encryption. That just means that when you send a message through WhatsApp or a call or whatever, it's scrambled on your phone and only unscrambled on the other person's phone. Not even WhatsApp can figure out what your message is. So in a sense, yes, no one can read your messages. But, and there's always a but, that doesn't mean your messages are invincible. The people who send them can still screenshot them, forward them, or have bad stuff on their phone. And WhatsApp does store some metadata, so like who you messaged and when. So it's private transit, private in storage, but once it hits the other device, it's only as private as the person you send it to. Yeah. So just be aware of that.
But now, does this mean, for example, I've never used WhatsApp. If you were using WhatsApp and sent me a message, would I then have to access WhatsApp or download WhatsApp to read the message, or how would that work?
I'm not a WhatsApp user, so if I get this wrong, please let me know, callers. The way it works is usually you want to do WhatsApp to WhatsApp, but you can do WhatsApp, I think, to individual users, in which case it wouldn't be encrypted when it goes out. But if you do WhatsApp to WhatsApp, encrypted both ends. It's best if you want to have the full true encryption, you need to have WhatsApp on both your phone and the recipient's phone.
So in that case, isn't it kind of like Proton Mail? If you want it to be really encrypted, which Proton Mail is, you should send it to another Proton Mail user.
That I don't know. I unfortunately don't really use Proton Mail.
Okay, let me take you back to messaging services. I think it was last week I asked you, what about blockchain? This is a new service that apparently doesn't use the internet at all. So if you're out hiking with someone or you're at a concert and you get separated, you can communicate with each other because it's not using the internet. It's using Bluetooth. Is that right?
I apologize. I know I looked into this. It is a new messaging system that uses Bluetooth, and I don't know anything other than that. I have not seen anybody who uses this.
I'm right there with you, because when I saw it, the only thing that, Lollapalooza was in town, and somebody said, well, you know what, if you get separated, if you use this blockchain, and I went, what chain? Huh?
Well, blockchain is actually, I'm not even sure that's the name of the platform, because blockchain is the crypto sort of ledger system that's used to secure, to keep crypto, to keep your records online. And so it's the blockchain is, if I'm going to go and do a crypto transaction, it's located on this public register, but it's encrypted.
Interesting. Because as soon as I saw that in someone's message, I jotted it down and I thought, what is this blockchain? Okay, we said we'd only keep you for a couple of minutes, and a listener had a darn good question about online bank transactions. I purchased a Chromebook to be used exclusively for banking. I installed NordPass as my password manager. Do I need virus protection software? If so, which one? I'm having difficulty finding virus software for Chromebooks.
I don't, and this is sort of like the pop quiz, and I'm not sure, but if I'll try to find something, and next time on the air, I'll have a recommendation.
Okay, sounds good.
And another text to 312-981-7200 talking about our home Wi-Fi. This person says, it's strange your PC won't connect. I'm going to ask an obvious question. Are you broadcasting your network ID name on a band the PC antenna can pick up? Do you have a strong enough signal to the Wi-Fi router?
And the answer is yes to both. So we are seeing it. It's able to connect. It's just for some reason or other, it's saying, you know, no internet, comma, secured.
But again,
Windows 10, I don't know.
But again, in the exact same space, we were able to connect to Patrick's phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and my phone was connected to the Ubiquiti, so I don't understand.
Speaking of phones, listeners, a 26-year customer of Verizon, they were offered a free iPhone 15 and free service for 3 years. It's a deal that sounds too good to be true. I'm on a plan with my daughter and her husband, and I'm not sure how that would affect the plan. Does this sound like it's a good deal?
Steve Costello at Sun Microsystem actually had a wonderful analogy for this, which is it's free like a puppy, not free like a beer. No one's going to give you $500, $600, $700, $800 for free. Nobody does that. No company's going to do that. If they're giving you a free iPhone 15, they're trying to get you cheap by giving you what is now 2 years, a two model old version, and they're going to lock you into a 3 year contract, and they're going to make the money off of you on the contract. Wait for the 17 to come out, and you're still going to be locked into a 3 year contract. But again, nobody's going to give you a free iPhone 15. It's not free. You're paying for it because you have to have a contract to be able to get it.
Okay, I'm going to give you one more question. It's in the form of homework. This is for our listener in Dallas, Texas, who checked in tonight. He's frustrated because the computer that he bought in 17 is not going to be compatible with Windows 11. So he, probably like a lot of people this time of the year with back to school and such, is going to be shopping for a new desktop. So do you think in 2 weeks we can talk a little bit about what you should absolutely be looking for if you're shopping for a new computer?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do that.
In fact, for people who are going back to school, needing a new computer, first time to college or whatever, and you're looking for a new computer, we'll talk about it.
You probably know what you want, but it's what you actually need to do these things. So Dallas, our listener in Dallas, be listening in 2 weeks when Patrick is back with us, and we'll make that one of the things we will absolutely address.
Patrick, as always, it's fun. Hugs to Joseph and Christine and you.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. Take care.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Want to mention next week we have a full show again next week, and Tom Appel will be joining us next week, and we're going to talk about all kinds of car related things. We're also going to do something next week that's a little unusual. Every now and then we like to share some of our personal experiences with you in hopes that you can learn something from something that we've gone through. We recently did some estate planning, and for years people had been telling us, set up a trust. And the word trust would come out, and it would go whoosh, right over my head. I have no clue. Well, about, was it a year and a half ago, we started thinking seriously about this. I'll cut to the chase. We did it. We had a really good experience, and more people are looking into setting up a trust. So next week, we're going to have a guest on to talk about how to do that. And yes.
And what is it?
And what is it? What it does? What is a trust? What does it mean when you do that? And yes, the person we're going to have in the studio, her name is Julie Colodzi, and she is the person who set up the trust for us. But for those of you who are saying, oh, conflict of interest, nope. We didn't ask Julie to come on the show until we had finished doing everything. We were not given any breaks, no, nothing like that.
Right.
We finished all of our transaction. After that, Johnny and I were talking, and we both thought, you know, she really answered all of our questions. She was very patient with us. We talked with her for over a year and a half. She probably would be a good person to have on the show and try to explain it to the rest of the class. So that's what we're going to do next week.
Yep. She's going to join us next Saturday night, probably in the 10 o'clock hour. And we'll answer your questions, too.
So, and again, don't feel like a dummy if you have no clue about a trust. We sure didn't. There are still questions we have now, even after having done it. We know. It's one of those things where there are some things that you retain for the moment you need to make the decision or answer the question or whatever it is, and then after you've done that, it goes, whoosh, it's
well,
gone.
I'm actually looking forward to a refresher course because I think after I signed my name, I just blanked out. My head just went, ugh. But I remember thinking, wow, I understood what I just did.
I will share one thing, and we'll talk about this next week. I have no idea why this happened, but now I'm going for the amount of people that want to buy our home now.
Yeah.
This is so weird.
Yeah.
Now that our house is listed as technically not being owned by us, but it's now in the trust.
We get 2 to 3 calls a day looking to buy our house.
Only since it's gone into the trust. So there must be something online. I mean, I know there is. I guess you could look it up and you can find, well, it's they don't own it. It's now part of the trust. But it's just a weird...
Well, I said, I wonder if this sends out a message, oh, they're either dying or they died, so let's jump in there and see if we can buy the property. That's all I could figure, because we've never, ever had that happen. We have calls about Florida frequently, because...
But we've never had it happen about our home here.
And the reason people call about Florida is there just isn't any more land available. Yeah. So they're, we were just wondering if you want to unload this property.
But I wonder if because now it looks like, Steve and Johnny don't own that anymore.
They died. So let's...
I wonder if that, so maybe whoever got it wants to sell it. That must be the deal. I don't know.
It's just weird. And again, I look at my phone and frequently I say, well, I'm not picking up that. I don't recognize the number. And we've talked about this with Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau. If you're expecting a call from a hospital or a doctor's office, you pick up the calls because they don't come into your phone as spam or a hospital or the doctor's office.
And I will say, one of the hospitals we deal with is an Endeavor hospital, and we have talked with the people at Endeavor, and they said they don't understand, and they have talked with their superiors about why does it always come across as a spam call.
Well, or I was trying to make an appointment, so they say, well, your wait time is 10 minutes. If you would like a call back, press this number. So I did that, and then when I got a call back, instead of 10 minutes, it was like 6 minutes, and I didn't recognize the number. And,
as it's coming through, it says potential spam.
Okay, I'll try to pick it up. And the person on the other end goes, Endeavor Health, returning your call. I was like, well, I almost didn't pick it up because I thought you were a spam call. Yeah, we get that all the time. So, again, we keep telling you don't pick up phone calls if you don't recognize a number. But if you're trying to get to somebody, especially in the medical community, there's a good chance it's going to come through as possibly a spam call. Something else I was going to tell you. It was so important.
But you just made me think of something. When we were going the morning, we were going for Johnny's cataract surgery. I sure hope the person who almost drove us off the road and almost caused about 3 different accidents.
Yeah.
I hope they were going to the... Well, they were going to the emergency room.
I said, I hope there's a pregnant woman in that car.
Yeah.
Because it was really scary. I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Crazy driver. 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Almost hit us. Almost hit about 2 other people. And then as I was turning, I said, I bet they're going to the hospital. And they were. And they went to the emergency room. So I hope they're okay. B, I'm real glad they didn't kill us or anybody else.
Yeah. Mm. And it was daylight, which is going to change real soon. 6 o'clock in the morning is going to be very, very dark very, very soon. Well, I wanted to share with you the fact that we are getting comments from folks who are apparently enjoying the warm night by sitting outside, listening to the radio, and enjoying the big old sturgeon moon. We even heard from WLS Channel 7's meteorologist, Tracy Butler, who checked
in. Tracy.
She was coming home from a wedding, and she said, oh, so fun to hear you guys while we're driving along under this gorgeous sturgeon moon. The August moon is a sturgeon moon, thanks to the giant fish that were once plentiful this time of the year in the waters in northeastern United States. The full moon is visible just before the popular Perseid meteor shower, and that's going to reach its peak on August 12th and 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And
are we going to be able to see that here?
Well, I hope so, because it's a really big deal. We're talking about like 150 meteors shooting across the sky, you know, constantly. Well, weather's going to be a determining factor. I also read someplace that, Northern Lights are visible, maybe not here in the Chicago area because of all of the light noise that we have, but it's just kind of a kind of an interesting phenomena that from Wisconsin, the northern portions of the United States are experiencing Northern Lights.
Hmm.
There's a lot of weird meteorological stuff going on.
Yeah.
Makes me think of Spike Odell. I think we should get Spike on next week to talk about his new old feature, Now You Know.
Oh, and also, is it next week or the week after we think we're going to try and get Max Armstrong on?
Yeah, next week we should get him on because
Max has, it's his annual
tractor
ride.
Yeah.
And this is something he's been doing for how many years now?
Since he was just a young man.
I mean, this is a big deal. Hundreds of tractors trekking a long distance.
I know he lives in a different time zone, but we'll pin him down. He owes us. I'll figure out some reason why he owes us, but I'll get him to stay up late for us. So
that means we will have to play honky tonk.
Oh, yes. Well, see, that's how we'll get him to stay up late, right there. And if you don't know what we're talking about, be listening next week, and it will all become clear to you. It's official. We're in the final stretch of the show because we're talking food.
Yeah.
During the break, Steve says, well, what are we having when we get home for dinner? Because we ate yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're like, I don't know. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have hamburgers, grilled cheese. What are we going to have when we get home?
Okay, so how late do you work?
So my last newscast is at 4:30 this morning.
Yeah.
And I typically hang around for an additional half hour just to make sure we're all caught up on news and we have everything we need for the morning shift. So usually like 5 a.m. is when I leave out.
Okay. So when you get home.
Yes.
What are you going to snack on?
Maybe her pillow.
Yeah, I was just getting, John, you already know. I'm typically too tired when I first walk through the door to eat anything. I go immediately and do the whole bedtime routine, the moisturizer underneath the eyes. Mm-hmm. And then, I jump right in the bed.
But what would, if you had to, what is your go-to comfort food?
Okay, so I'm a vegan. So my go-to comfort food is probably different than most people's. If I just really, really want to binge,
rice cakes. So, something exciting that sticks to your lips. Have you ever noticed how they stick to your lips? And you like
they do. Yes,
you pull it out of your mouth and go, "Ah, oh, that's the top layer of skin. Ah, yeah. That's ugly."
I can also really do pita chips and hummus.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah. How long have you been a vegan?
Oh, a very long time now, since 2011.
Do you find it challenging to go to restaurants?
You know, I do not now. When I began my journey into veganism, it was relatively new outside of places like maybe L.A. Mm-hmm. So I remember having to explain to waitresses and waiters, okay, so vegan means nothing with a mother or a father, no meat, no, you know, just trying
sorry.
To.
What a great description, nothing with a mother or a father. I love that.
It reminds me of Joseph, our 9-year-old grandson, when he was here last week and they'd gone to the Shedd Aquarium. I said, Joseph, one time we did a black tie affair at the Shedd Aquarium and they served us fish. And he said, no, you don't eat things with faces.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Your grandson is very smart and empathetic. I love that. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was kind of weird to be in the Shedd Aquarium eating fish. And with aquariums all around. It was like,
I get the irony for sure.
But then, do you remember when Muriel Anderson, who's an extraordinary guitar player you need to meet sometime, Sylvia, she was,
she was in Japan.
And she was a guest of some prince or princess or something. And
they served her fish.
They served her fish. But
it was
she sent us a video. The fish was actually looking up at
it was moving.
Her and moving.
Its head was lifting up off the plate. That'll make you a vegan.
For sure.
I mean, if you give me a fish that's looking up going, don't eat me, I won't. I'm here for you.
Oh, man. I mean, well, and I will say today, in fairness, we have come such a long way. I feel like restaurants all over the country are more aware of the vegan diet and vegan culture in general. So typically, yeah. if I tell a waitress today that I'm a vegan, there's a vegan menu I can look at, yep. and the chef has already thought of several vegan options I can try. So it's much, much better today.
We say the same thing about being gluten-free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
25 years ago, it was so challenging because you'd have to explain that this is serious. Then we went through a period when Gwyneth Paltrow came out with, oh, being gluten-free is a coolest thing out there, and the
and
downside
you had people that were going gluten-free because it was a fad, but then mm-hmm. they would have a dessert.
So you've got a chef that goes to the great extent to make you a safe meal, and then they see their friends are eating chocolate cake. Well, I'll have the cake. Mm. Well, then people are ticked off. So now when we go in, we say it's for medical reasons, implying this is not a fad.
Right.
This is serious. Yeah. And if you can't handle it, let us know. We're cool with that. Just let us know that. But yeah, like veganism, we've come a long way.
Long way, for sure.
When they hand you a menu, you know you've come a long way. You're like, what? I get
yes.
more than one or two things?
Or one of the things I loved, and we first experienced it in Panama City Beach, went into a pizza place and told them we wanted a gluten-free pizza. And they said, okay, is it for diet or medical reasons? And we said medical reasons. And they said, oh, okay, well, then we will mm-hmm. do it in a completely separate oven so there's no danger of cross-contamination.
Mm. So vegan pizza, would that be like a cauliflower crust?
Yes. Yes.
That sounds good, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And many, and I'm happy you say that because a lot of people, you still from time to time, I'm sure, as you know, mm-hmm. do have to remind people about cross-contamination.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I think most people aren't really thinking of mm-hmm. when they think of the diet. But yeah, I can run to a couple of places and just grab a slice of vegan pizza now, which again was something I could not have probably sure. done 15 years ago when I began. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we got a message last week. Patrick Crispin, our last guest, was at a sandwich shop. And he texted me and he says, hey, they've got gluten-free bread here. And I wrote back and I said, ask them about cross-contamination. He wrote back and said, I don't have to ask them. I'm watching them stick the knife in the mayonnaise, yeah. mm-hmm. putting it on the vegan bread. Or so the gluten-free bread, and then going over to the regular bread, and that's cross-contamination.
Oh,
he said, so I didn't even bother to ask. I knew it's just that the bread is okay if you happen to, you know, you just want to be gluten-free.
Yeah.
So, well, it's nice to talk to you.
Likewise. Thank you guys for chatting with me.
Sure.
For it's always a pleasure.
Hang in there.
I bet you're going to have a pizza when you go home.
You know what?
I'm just thinking, we've got a cauliflower pizza at home.
Oh.
And to people who are turning up their noses, I don't like cauliflower. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
You cut so many carbs and so many calories by eating this cauliflower crust, and it's good.
Really
it is.
Good.
It's got the same mouthfeel as a good thin crust pizza. I mean, you can make it crunchy like a cracker crust. I mean, it's good. We're in a good place in the world of food, I
yeah.
think.
Yes. Like, don't be afraid to experiment and try. They say, I was skeptical at mm-hmm. first before trying the diet, but I love it. As you know, when you try these new diets, you feel amazing.
Well,
yeah.
Let me just say, look at a picture of Sylvia, and you'll see what the vegan diet will do
yeah.
for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. I mean, I'm like, dang, girl.
Yeah.
You're really wearing that red dress.
Thank you very much.
We are coming up on the final few minutes of the show.
And that Whoa. Means that we have to get ready for our last caller. If you would like to be our last caller, get your dial and finger ready, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And as long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the last 2 months, you could get some goodies from our prize list. We had so many people commenting on our last caller last week.
Mm-hmm.
That was just so cool. It was a Dave who was calling from Michigan City, Indiana.
Was it Dave?
Was it?
It was a D name. I'm sorry. Daniel, Dave.
Dennis.
Oh.
The prison guard.
Yes.
And he's a prison guard listening to us. So I...
Which, again, he had a great story. A former Chicago police officer,
yeah.
Shot twice, stabbed once. I mean, the more he talked, he's traveled to 43 countries.
And he's going to be writing a book. And when
yes.
he does, we're going to have him on the show because Wow, has he got stories. Anyhow.
We got first dibs on him.
So if you want to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. And we will pick a number of the callers. And
it may be your lucky number.
Yeah, a couple lines open right now, 312-981-7200, if you would like to be our last caller.
And as we always say, you don't have to have anything deep and important to talk about. You don't have to fib and say that you are a pirate or an astronaut. You can just share with us whatever in the world your Saturday was like, what you're hoping for Sunday. Maybe you're going to be watching the Bears game. Maybe you're going to be listening to the White Sox on WGN because you think that's kind of odd, but that's the way it is.
But Len and DJ are terrific.
Yeah, yeah. So again, you don't have to have anything pithy. That's P-I-T-H-Y. Mm-hmm. To pontificate, a pithy pontification. It's not necessary. You can just, you know, sit up, make a fist, and...
And you can be vegan, you can be gluten-free, you can be having a steak. It doesn't matter. So we're an equal opportunity last caller station.
Would it be weird if I turned on the grill at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because of the listener that said it was the first time he'd fired up the grill and grilled a burger by flashlight.
That sounds so good.
I know.
It really does.
And we've got good patio lights.
We do.
Yeah. So we could go out there and fire up that baby and hot dogs on the grill. Yeah. It's going to be 5 o'clock in the morning before we go to bed.
We should mention, again, just a quick reminder, a full show next week starting at 9 o'clock. Tom Appel will be joining us. We'll talk all things cars. And we're going to talk with Julie Colodzi about setting up a trust, all the do's and don'ts of that. And please check out our blog. We would appreciate it if you subscribe to our blog. It's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. Subscription is absolutely free. No, we don't spam you. You just get an email when we do a new blog post, and we do about maybe
two or three
a week. But now we are going to go to our last caller. And
I chose last week, so it's your turn to choose.
Okay. I think you picked
two,
so I'm going to pick number one. And number one is Charles. Hey, Charles, where are you calling from?
Rockford.
Charles from Rockford.
Rockford, Illinois.
Yeah. Okay. Nice to hear from you, Charles. What are you doing up at this hour?
You know, I'm not sure. I happened to wake up and... And there you were. You were looking for the last call, but I'll be 90 and within the next month. Here,
oh, so. God bless you.
Well, good for you.
When is your birthday?
And you know, 90 is the new 60. I don't know if you heard. We played something a couple weeks ago by. Who was it?
Well, we played Herb Alpert tonight, and he was
Herb
just 90.
Yeah, Herb Alpert is just 90, and he's appearing at the Harris Theater this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. So when is your birthday?
It'll be on Labor Day.
Well, I was born on Labor Day, too. That's what I'm looking for, to see if we're birthday twins. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're Virgos.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I did meet somebody that was kind of interesting in radio. Who would you think was the rest of the story?
Oh, Paul Harvey.
Oh, Paul Harvey, sure.
Yeah.
Paul was a dear friend.
I met him over at the Wagon Wheel.
Oh,
in Rockland.
Yes.
Okay.
And we talked for a while. He was kind of a light-built, redheaded guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really miss him.
Oh, such
so do we.
Such a pro. He would actually drive into work at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, listening to our show, and he would call to wish me a happy birthday. And every time he called, I couldn't even speak. I would just be in awe of talking to him.
And Paul helped us with a birthday surprise for Les Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Harvey was just such a really dear man.
Just the best man. Yeah, the best broadcaster for sure.
In fact, one of the calls I will never forget, after, because we had been talking about food on the air, not surprising, we get off the air, and there's a call from Paul's secretary. Paul Harvey wanted Johnny's tuna noodle casserole recipe.
And Charles, I was too embarrassed. I'm like, Paul Harvey doesn't eat tuna noodle casserole. And June, his secretary, said, no, Mr. Harvey wants that. He has a craving for it. So I had to get them my goofy recipe with potato chips on top.
And Paul and Angel used to hang out at one of our favorite restaurants, De Luciano's in River Grove.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a little Rockford connection. Of course, Lisa Dent from Rockford, our afternoon person. But we used to call the clock tower in Rockford every year when the clocks would change. Go ahead.
They had a Hen Reese's over there, and there was a picture of Jimmy Durante, and he'd say, "Let's go over to Hen Reese's and get a new coat."
Well, I remember, now we've never been to Hen Reese's, but at the clock tower, one time we called when they were actually changing all the clocks, and the guy was not very happy about taking the time to stop and talk to us. He had all those clocks to change.
And I forget how many clocks they had there.
Yeah.
It was...
Because not only did they have the big clock on the tower that you could see from outside, but apparently inside they had, like the way he talked, they had hundreds of them inside. Are you born and raised in Rockford, Charles?
No, I was born in Savannah and raised in Galesburg.
Oh.
We love Savannah.
Yeah. Well, it's
I remember walking along the Mississippi River when I was about 10 years old, barefoot, before the dam was built in Fulton.
Wow.
And they had a beach there in downtown Savannah. And when they put the dam in, that beach was gone. There was about 20 more feet of water there.
Wow. Wow.
But as a kid, it was just a mystery to me, you know.
I'm sure.
How the water could come up that far.
Well, it's certainly nice to meet you, and a happy early birthday, and again, thank you for listening and picking up the phone.
And hold on for a couple seconds, and Julian will get some information from you off the air.
And we will send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt.
And if you get a chance to send us a picture of you wearing that WGN Radio T-shirt, we'd love to.
On your 90th birthday.
Yeah.
You're a few years ahead of me, but just a few.
Once again, this has been a fast 5 hours.
I know. And a listener said, you mentioned the meteor shower coming up and the fact that it's the 12th and the
13th.
The 12th and the 13th, so get ready to witness this. 1,000 meteors crashing into Earth at 150 an hour. 150 an hour, that'll get your attention. These streaks of light will illuminate the night sky, lighting up the fiery brilliance. So mark your calendar, and if you're a night owl, just maybe go sit out on the patio and count the streaks of light.
Or sit out on the patio and do a barbecue.
Stop that!
I've got a barbecue hum going through my head.
And you know what's
going
to happen when we fire it up? The neighbors who sleep with their windows open, they're going to wake up. And next thing you know, we'll be having a party on the patio.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And your point is?
I got all the fixins.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see if we can wake them up gently. I wish we had some steaks. Can we swing by some place and pick up some steaks?
Or some s'mores.
Some s'mores, s'mores, yes. S'mores. I got those giant marshmallows. Have you seen the ones that are like the size of a baby's fist? And when you put one of those suckers between your graham crackers, that's living. Yeah, nobody's hungry.
No Food Jones is stopping through this studio at all.
No. And look, I brought a bag of crackers. We're going to be eating dry crackers on the way home.
I had my Japanese chicken earlier.
Well, that was good. That smelled good, too.
Mm-hmm. With some rice, of course.
What restaurant did you go to? Was that after you went to Fiddler?
Before. Mitsuo Marketplace in Arlington Heights.
Oh.
I was on the way and passed by for some karage chicken.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Delicious.
But you already ate it, so it was probably gluten-free. You didn't offer to share it.
Oh, there was some gluten. I had some breading on it.
Oh, okay. You were thinking of us when you didn't offer it.
So when we leave tonight, no kissing on the lips.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Patrick's show notes will be on our blog, and we hope you check out the blog, stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. Julian, thank you. Bob, thank you. Ron and Sylvia and everybody, and most of all, thank you guys for hanging out with us. We will talk to you next week.